Robin. The Deals in the D.com studios featuring the Drew and Mike show today for Thursday. And, oh boy, another busy day. Some breaking news. We'll get to it in a second, but first, Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and DealsInTheD.com, all fired up. Their community, customers, and Zot team are excited to be back at full strength. And they've got the deals. 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn, only $188 a month. If you like Jeeps, they got the loaded Jeep Compass at $125 a month. And the new 2020 Jeep Grand Cherokee, as low as $247 a month. And the Wrangler, employee pricing for everyone, 0% financing, and $1,500 in rebates if you want a new Jeep Wrangler right now. Go to DealsInTheD.com. Do it. Get it done.
So, how does the D-wheel sound?
Pardon me?
Turn it up, Brandon.
One more time.
So, how does the D-wheel sound?
I guess it sounds okay. Check, Brandon. 1, 2.
Okay. Check.
1, 2. Can you keep talking, please?
Is my microphone overmodulated today?
No, it sounds okay.
No, the drop was undermodulated.
Trudy sounds... Yeah, I couldn't hear the drop.
The volume on the drop is just too low.
Trudy, how you doing?
Hey, good. How are you guys?
All righty. How are things at WLOZ these days, by the way?
That's pretty cool. I'm having a good time.
Not sure how to define... I think I'm supposed to read between some lines, but I don't want to get anybody in trouble. I don't know what that means.
No, it's cool. It really is. We're doing good. Everybody's digging it. So it's a pretty groovy scene.
Is the radio station and iHeart coming together along with the COVID regulations and the protesting for a better world? Is it one big red ribbon around iHeart these days?
It kind of is. Mojo's show is doing a lot of the heavy lifting there.
How so?
Well, just being a show that's more involved with, you know, sort of...
He on that
issues.
Mojo, girl!
Well, I would demand equal time. That's kind of sexist for Mojo
I'm
to do all the heavy lifting.
I'm a midday host, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're...
Equal times, yeah.
Is Jay Towers doing some heavy lifting? He enjoys controversy, I think.
I know. I never see Jay Towers, but whenever I do hear on their day on the overhead speakers, Jay's always doing something that's delightful.
Oh.
I see.
Does he go and change the monitor in the common area to put his show on?
No, it's all preset. No one can change it, but I remember, doing that at Greater Media.
I used to turn us off.
I know. It's always funny when there's a battle over the monitor when you have multiple
that's
stations.
That's why, yeah.
We used to have that at WAAF in Boston. We had an AM, I think it was 1440, WFTQ. And it was, it had been a really strong station when AM radio ruled the earth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't even think it reached Boston, barely. It was...
That ship has sailed.
Yeah, that ship had long sailed. And they were having trouble competing in the market they were in because they were AM. But they always turned the monitor. Anytime you came out there, the monitor was on FTQ. And it's weird, the morning guy... who was really good guy. I really liked him. He's married to this beautiful girl. And I remember talking to somebody out there a while ago, and they said, oh, yeah, they split up. Why did we split up? Ooh. I think they split up. And it turned out he had an illegitimate kid that was like 30.
Really?
Yeah. And he was like out of the blue, just came. Whoa.
It's like Gavin Rossdale and Gwen Stefani.
How old is this kid?
What happened with Gavin Rossdale?
So those two got together in the early days when he was with Bush and she was with No Doubt. They were married for several years, but then she got big. You know, she started getting into pop instead of rock. She started getting on television. She started doing all that
cheerleading,
jazz.
The cheerleading
and
song.
Then it came out that Gavin Rossdale had a kid when he was like, I don't know, 17, 18, 19. And really? By this time, that kid was already 17, 18, 19. So.
But it sounded like he had the kid when they were married.
I know it. I don't know if that's officially what broke them apart or if he just came in with his mullet and stole her away.
Didn't he have some home
didn't
action?
Didn't he get it on with the nanny?
Yeah, he did that too. I think he just fucked
some home. Was there some home action?
Yeah. Anything that's around his dick. It's
nothing wrong with home action. Off. It sounds like anything that's in the orbit of his penis. Yes. You're right.
What happened to Bush?
That's why his name is Bush.
Anyway, this poor guy who was on the AM, you know, not only that, a whole weird thing happened. He lost his voice. He couldn't talk for like a year. I think he was so traumatized by
it. Yeah, you probably want to tell her why, what happened.
He's a good guy.
I can't talk about my illegitimate kid. I lost my voice.
But in spite of all of that, somehow the station, the building monitor always stayed on the AM station. So there was that. They won that battle. No matter, you couldn't take that away from anybody.
Oh, childish.
So Johnny Depp, you know, we haven't talked about Johnny Depp in a long time, but today there's a big story about Johnny and about Amber Heard. Boy, did she make a mistake when she wrote that op-ed for the Washington Post about battered women, because I guess the Washington Post decided, well, Depp gave $7 million to some, you know, organization, so she must be a battered woman. And I don't think they really, I don't know how hard people vet op-ed types. You'd think they would be pretty cautious. But anyway, she got a little too high and mighty for Johnny Depp, suggesting that, you know, she was this horrific victim. And so Depp just had it. He lost it. And he filed this giant lawsuit against her. And this suit is going a long, long way. We've already heard the tapes of Amber Heard and Johnny Depp where they're talking about her wailing on him. And she says, oh, but I, you know, when I hit, it doesn't hurt. And, you know, all those things that abusers tend to say.
Yeah.
And she really sounds like just an impossible person. And then on top of that, we'd already heard that she and Elon Musk were having a fling while she and Depp were married. And now word that Elon Musk had a three-way with Amber Heard and Cara Delevingne when he was married to Depp. So not only did she fool around, she had a three-way with Elon Musk.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming Musk was in the corner pounding off, because there's no way either one of those women wanted to be with him.
Yeah. Well, or maybe they were rolling around with his wallet. His bank statement.
Nice.
Could have been. But both those girls, one is one a lesbian, one's bisexual.
Cara Della, whatever the hell her name is, I thought she was 100% lesbian.
Okay. Well, so that's what I said. One's a lesbian, one's bisexual, because Amber Heard's bisexual. So I'd assume they're both smoking hot. So they probably went crazy on each other. And Musk was just sitting there going, why do I want to do this?
They kept shushing him away every time he got near the bed.
And the case, his attorneys are also asking for all emails.
Yeah, I think from Musk.
Cara Levine, Elon Musk.
I've seen girls do this.
And James Franco.
Yeah.
How does James Franco get in there?
How does James Franco enter the picture? That's what I'm interested in.
I think because he was friends, and so he wants to know. Would she be emailing James Franco about a three-way she had?
I don't think it's related to that necessarily. I just have a feeling. I just cannot believe.
She probably banged James Franco.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. I cannot believe that James Franco's wiener isn't a part of this.
Does it explain why Johnny Depp's head went square from being a normal human?
No, there really isn't any explanation for that. And I saw a picture of him recently with a young child, and there were all these comments about, you know, what happened to Johnny Depp? He looks like a cancer patient, and all these, you know, really grim comments. But, I mean, he could be one of those guys that just abused himself, and he just has amazing genes, and he always kind of looks good. And then all of a sudden, it all just piled up on him.
Yeah.
At once.
I can see that, yeah.
I mean, I don't know that that's really a real thing, but that's what it seems like.
Oh, no, it is.
Facebook Live is brought to you by the world's strongest coffee. Go to deathwishcoffee.com. That's deathwishcoffee.com/Drew. Use the code DREW15 and check out to get 15% off your entire order. And Mike Pilkington commented on how good I looked in that Death Wish t-shirt the other day. They do have merch. Great merch at deathwishcoffee.com. And again, 15% off. Use Drew15 as the code when you go to deathwishcoffee.com/Drew. So I was a little late getting started today. Today is just the weirdest day. I got up and I usually start reading email and checking Twitter, and so I was doing the usual stuff, and all of a sudden I realized, wow, there was a series of bitchy messages.
Are you doing okay?
Bitchy messages. Well, they weren't bitchy. About yesterday's show, and I was like,
What's
wrong with yesterday's show? Well, one guy's mad because I was yelling. And I assume he's talking about Biden!
Oh.
Which, honestly, I thought I was yelling off mic. It wasn't like I was yelling into the microphone.
That's fine.
And saga of Frank Biden was...
It's great.
Yeah, that was
I really thought it was pretty amazing, too, but it got a lot of beefs because, again, you're picking on Joe Biden!
No, we're picking on Frank Biden.
Yeah, now you got to pick on Mary Trump.
Easy.
Mary Trump, is that the niece?
Yes.
I think so, yeah.
The one that is responsible for all the revelations?
You mean the one who's violated her NDA?
What? I saw that.
Why would your uncle have an NDA with you?
I think he probably has an NDA with... I think in the minute you're born, the mother signs an NDA until you're 18. When you're 18, you get the complete NDA. You get $100,000 and an NDA.
Well, isn't the split over her dad dying, the alcoholic dad, right?
Yeah, which Trump did, I guess. That's what I heard. What? Trump killed him.
Seriously?
No.
Oh.
I swear to God, it said Trump contributed to his death. That's what I read. I don't know what the details are.
It sounded like the details were once that happened, he was in total control of all the money. And he was supposed to get some, I don't know. He was the uncle was supposed to get some money in that family. And that's
oh, I see. So the reason he became an alcoholic is because Trump commandeered all the cash?
No, I think that happened after he died. I don't know what
did Trump kill him?
I don't know. I didn't know that he did. You just broke that news here. I had not heard that.
Yeah, that was
sorry about that.
It was one of the sub headlines, and the sub headlines have been oh my God, like what? Because the other book about Melania that she re-upped her prenup before she was willing to go to the White House, and got some more cash.
Wrong.
And the other one, there's always a couple things that are surprising. A lot of it's like, yeah, I can see that. But I was really surprised to see that she was angry about grabbing by the pussy because she wanted to win.
Yeah.
Melania, really? Yeah,
which is a surprise to everybody.
I always thought she just showed up when she absolutely had to, and it was a big inconvenience, and she really didn't want to be first lady.
MAGA.
Yeah, I don't know. Who cares about the first one?
I don't really care either.
Is the source of this?
Well, I don't. You know, it's always hard to say with these books. Sometimes I think they're better than others. But that one story, too, that I just laugh at every time I read it because I've read it before, that her father is the same size as Trump. So he gets all of Trump's hand-me-down clothes. Trump does hand-me-downs to her father.
Wait, what? Oh. Still?
To Melania's father.
Melania's father.
Yeah,
okay.
Melania's father.
What?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's the same size as Trump. So he gets all of Trump's leftovers. And they said it. Trump, when he wears something after two or three times, just goes, throws in a pile.
That's like pretty cool.
I know, it is pretty cool.
It's funny. I'm looking at Google Images.
Uh-huh.
And there's actual photos of Donald in the clothes. And then fast forward to
Melania's dad wearing the same clothes.
His name is Victor Naves or whatever, and he's in the same clothes.
You know, honestly, I would think Trump would say, "I don't want to wear my clothes. Let's buy him new clothes. Fuck that." Because
does he even know? Maybe Melania just I'll dispose of these
know
for you
if he sees him wearing his old clothes all the time.
Yeah, but where would he see him? He's never in the news.
Like, according to this book, it sounds like Melania and Trump are just business partners that rarely see each other. They have separate bedrooms because Trump likes dark carpet, dark walls, dark everything, and she likes light. So they have separate bedrooms. And then
nice compromising.
At dinner time,
one of them.
Trump comes in and he eats by himself, and Melania eats with her parents. But it sounds like her parents are around a lot.
Huh.
Really? And then her dad, Victor, apparently he thought that the old MAGA hats were also his hand-me-downs. And Trump got pissed because he was wearing one of his MAGA hats. I guess Trump has special MAGA hats.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. I don't know what's special about them. Maybe they're white with red MAGA or something. And so Trump lost it and made him take the hat off.
Wow. Crazy. Like,
as you say, I don't know. It's fun reading. I mean,
that's my dad.
If it's even close to true, it's kind of funny. But So, yeah, I didn't realize there were two books coming out at once.
Yeah, the niece and then the one on Melania.
Three, if you add Bolton.
Yeah, Bolton's book.
That's right, Bolton's book.
There's a lot of Trump reading to do.
He's got a first interview's coming out on ABC.
Oh, the media's going to talk to him? I'm shocked.
Yeah, they're going to make a night of it. A whole night.
You know, somebody sent me Adam Carolla. Has anybody seen Adam Carolla around?
No.
Yeah. I see him here and there.
Okay.
He's got a show.
It's funny because I saw him on this link that was sent to me. It was Adam Carolla with Tucker Carlson. And so Adam's talking about his new book. And I sent Trudy something to try and get Adam on because Adam's a great guest. I think Adam's funny. I mean, I just generally enjoy him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's Kimmel's buddy. I don't know how those two get along, by the way, because they're on totally opposite political sides of the fence.
Because they're adults.
Well, there aren't many adults that are able to do that. But
exactly.
They don't do too much together anymore.
Oh, no. Adam writes for Jimmy's show occasionally.
No, I think they're friends. They sound like they're good friends still to this day.
Well, what was that last roast we saw? We saw Adam Carolla. He went up there and ranted. And afterwards, it was just he got a lot of flack for being the worst one up on the dais. He was because I can't remember exactly what he bitched about, but it was something that kind of brought right-wing politics into a roast, which never really goes over well.
Well, Adam was on with Tucker Carlson plugging his book. And it's funny, about a third of the way through there, I thought, I wonder if anyone else will interview Adam Carolla as far as networks, because he's a great guest, but he's making fun of woke culture. So anyway, he gets a little further in the interview, and he says that he took this book to the usual publishers. This is not his first book. I think he's got, I don't know.
Three or four.
Yeah, he's got a bunch of books out, and they've all done fairly well. And he said that none of the publishers would take it. They didn't want it. So he's putting it out himself, and I'll be curious to see how it does if it reaches the New York Times bestseller list, because the publishers all just felt it was too, I don't know, controversial, lightning rod-ish, I don't know what, but...
It's a commentary on woke culture, but I feel like he looks at it from a comic point of view, which there's a lot of comedy.
Oh, I agree. I think there's a ton of comedy, and I enjoyed watching his interview. But what I guess woke culture just cannot be made fun of anymore, or at least these publishers felt it won't sell, or I don't know. I don't know what they thought. I bet it's a good book, though. He's got a documentary out, too. Has anybody seen that?
He's got a couple of them.
I saw the one about his stand-up, but this one is about the same subject, I think, and I haven't seen it yet, but it looked like it'd be good.
It's the number five book on Amazon right now. So
what?
I think it'll be just fine.
What's the title?
That's funny, though, when people don't want to make money. I mean, you would think publishers right now, wouldn't you think they would like a good book? But apparently...
I'm your emotional support animal.
That's it.
Navigating our no-joke, all-woke culture.
So, anyway, yesterday...
it's a long name.
It does have a publisher, though.
Well, he published it. He said he published it. So maybe he has his own, or calls it his own. I mean, is it like...
It's a...
Dun & Bradstreet or something?
A division of Simon & Schuster, Post Hill Press.
Oh. We must have had somebody. Know.
Yeah.
Handjobs magazine just stopped publishing.
Well, Post Hill has also published books by Teen Mom stars Macy Bookout and Kaylin Lowry.
Oh, sweet.
What publishing deal?
Dancing with the Stars dancer Karina Smirnoff.
What story?
She has a book?
Apparently, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
and Mort Krim is publishing his, I think, his autobiography early.
Breaking news with Mort Krim.
His own breaking news?
hey, did anybody see LaDuff on national news last night?
No.
Yeah.
Wow. Who's the host of that show? I don't know who that is.
What
was he on?
Some disgruntled-looking blonde woman.
Fox News around 6 to 7, maybe?
Hmm.
Who's that broad?
I honestly don't know who she was. I didn't know. But anyway, he's on there killing it, according to all people that saw it. Nobody sent me the whole thing, so I didn't get to see it all. But that reminded me that No BS News has a great new episode, but it looks like it doesn't exist if you go to iTunes. It's the last episode shown is March 15th, and you have to scroll down I don't know why it's fucked up, but it is. So it is there.
I know why it is. Just one thing needs to be changed on it.
But those of you who are saying that, hey, I can't find the new episode, or did Charlie put out a new episode? Yes, he absolutely did. And it is just scroll a little bit.
That's why it's always...
Go to all episodes and scroll, and you'll find it.
That's why it's always best just to subscribe, and then it will always be there.
And I guess ML's show is just the same?
No.
No, it doesn't?
Fixed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And he has a new show, too.
Alrighty.
There's a sweet fart in it, too, somewhere in it.
Hey,
like,
on my...
It's like a little Easter egg. You have to find it.
It is a great fart.
Wait, there's a sweet fart where?
In there's ML's a new fantastic show. Fart hidden.
Elric has a fart in his show?
He does, yeah.
He's stealing our thunder?
You can't stop bodily functions.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Who belongs to that fart?
I don't know. You'll have to listen to find out. Tell me that's not a great tease.
A stinky tease.
It's a great tease.
Emergency Response Services Incorporated, if you have problems with water in your basement or you have problems with mold, water extraction, mold, storm damage, fire damage, call 877-JOB-DONE. I mean, just remember 877-JOB-DONE. Job's done. Call that number. It's done. Or visit 877-JOB-DONE.com. Tell them we sent you because they like to take care of those horrible, horrible problems that you never want to handle yourself. I'm always amazed when I hear people going, yeah, I rented a water vac and... oh, my God, really? But some people are very industrious. I'm not. I mean, I would call 877-JOB-DONE in a second, as some people have done with very good results, too, from Emergency Response Services Incorporated. They do the jobs nobody else wants to do. So there you go, 877-JOB-DONE or 877-JOB-DONE.com. Oh, God, I've got to get a Kleenex. I have news on my GoFundMe.
Oh.
In just a minute. My GoFundMe for black people.
Now that's a tease.
There's no reason.
Started one?
No, I'm just saying that there should be one. And
One that goes directly to the people.
Can you handle the Hall, David
sure,
Hall business
love
and talk
to.
About what could be happening on the Hall Financial Hotline, if anything could be happening
well,
today?
There's a number for a guy who
this guy?
Was fired.
The guy I know.
The guy I know.
I don't even know what this... company is. Maybe it's like a DTE company. It's San Diego Gas and Electric. And he was fired because he was driving and he was cracking his knuckles, his hand hanging out of the window, and someone took a picture of it and was making the okay sign.
He was cracking like this, like
yeah, upside down though. The white supremacist sign. So they fired him. They fired him because of that, because it went viral on the internets.
What?
He says, my supervisor said that I was being accused of doing a white supremacist gesture. That was just baffling. I don't know how long it's going to take for me to get over this, but to lose your dream job for playing with your fingers, it's a hard pill to swallow. Of course, I firmly believe that. It's kind of silly. Here's the kicker, though. He's Mexican-American.
They took his job.
So I don't know how white supremacy would have been either, anyway.
No that's kidding. I mean, that's ridiculous. That
it's totally
come
ridiculous.
On, we're looking at Steph Curry's company, which this is the logo. This it's the OK sign. I mean, everything that we were doing, you know, in the 90s as I was a kid, you know, giving a thumbs is that next? The thumbs up is if they claim it. If all of a sudden some proud boys or some white supremacists greet each other with a thumbs up, does that mean? That's
no one else
terrible.
Ever use it again.
And then we got to look back in history at every photo taken of people with thumbs up and get them out of here too. The OK sign. It's ridiculous.
No, because context matters.
Well, I don't know. If somebody claims something, it's automatically theirs though. That's insane.
Maybe we can get a hold of them on the Hall Financial Hotline. David Hall and Hall Financial care about the community. That's why the team at Hall Financial is working from home around the clock still to help people save money by refinancing. It's a great time to look at your option. That's why many people are refinancing right now. And if you haven't refinanced in the last year, Hall Financial is here to help. Lower your monthly payments, keep some extra money in your pocket, all that fun stuff during these turbulent times. You might even be able to skip a few payments. So see what they can do for you. Hall Financial Services are the fastest in the business. That's why they have nearly 1,500 five-star reviews for Michigan homeowners. Go to our website and click on the logo to get started or call 248-308-5000. That's 248-308-5000. Hall Financial, lower payments, better options, more personal attention. NMLS number 1467435. And I called them to refinance, and now it's... Now I feel guilty because they've been waiting for me to get paperwork to them. It's taken me like a week to get paperwork to them because I don't know. When it's on me, it just takes a while. Things move a little bit slow.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Well, actually, I was waiting for some tax paperwork.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Breaking news with Mort Krim.
This is very, very exciting. It's a very important message. If Zeus, if you could put on my computer.
What?
What is up, you guys? It's your girl Charlie from TMZ. I just had to come on here and give a shout out to my favorite show from Detroit, the Drew and Mike Show. What is up, you guys? Shout out to Drew.
That's
shout
you.
Out to Brandon. That's to Trudy, representing the blondes. And a shout out especially to you, Mark. Hope you're doing good. But I wanted to let you guys know that there was actually something you guys did that seriously made my year.
What?
It was actually on your Twitter page, and it was a poll that said farts. And 76% of people said yes. It seriously made my day, and I crack up till this day because it's so funny.
You're right.
So thank you for that, especially during these crazy times. Like, it is needed. But I wanted to let you guys know that with all the cameo money I'm making, I can finally fill up my big purse. I know that you guys always make fun of me for my big purse on TMZ Live. I want to let you know that I got rid of that purse, but I've replaced it with this
big bigger monster purse.
I can seriously put a car in this thing, you guys. It's that big. So you'll see that once we're back in the office filming, I'll make sure that that's in the background and you guys can know that I'm thinking about you at all times.
Aww.
Bye. Love you guys.
Bye, Charlie.
She loves you.
How great is that?
You know, we went on her Instagram page, didn't we?
Yeah, we've been on her Instagram
page.
She's
really pretty. I
mean,
I think she's attractive on TMZ, but when I saw her Instagram, I was like, what? Huh?
Some people were having a very lively discussion about her before. This is before the cameo stuff, wondering what kind of person she is. I think that cameo person, she's very likable. She's very nice.
Hey, that was a good cameo. How much was that?
$25.
No, there's Brandon selling cameo again. Nearly a stock in the company.
Yeah, why are you their biggest salesperson?
Well, I did see Amy Jo Johnson, the Pink Ranger. She's now on cameo, $100. Rex Burkhead, the Caucasian running back from the New England Patriots. He is $134 today.
Wow.
Yeah. And Jennifer Esposito. The actress from Blue Bloods.
Who's that?
I don't know who the hell you are.
Great sales.
You'd know her if you saw her. But hey, with quarantine going on, there's a lot more people jumping on a cameo. Check it out.
So let me sell my GoFundMe, which honestly, if you started now, I still think it would do a lot of good. And my idea was to take all the money, the record companies, and these large companies, and I mean a lot of companies are giving money to Black Lives Matter or other programs or racial initiatives or anti-racism initiative type things. We're talking about billions and billions of dollars. I mean, it's an astounding amount of money. And when I saw all the money and I thought to myself, they're just throwing money to say, you know, a lot like, I don't want to compare a company to Lea Michele, but a lot, in my opinion, like Lea Michele goes, Black Lives Matter, and people go, shut up. You don't mean that. And I don't mean the companies don't mean it, but I just mean that they're trying to make a big statement, you know, to say that we're not just behind this. We're really behind it. We're putting money behind it. So all this money goes to all these places. And we talked about this. And I think everybody agreed that these programs, we've had programs and programs and programs. And it just seems like dollar for dollar, I never feel like it's a big help because where are we now? We're like at square one, right?
Right.
Pretty much.
And pretty close. So my idea was, what if we added it all up and made a GoFundMe? And I think at the last calibration, we determined it'd be $4,000 to each African-American in this country. Now, if you eliminated the children and just gave it to the adults, of course, it would be a lot.
$4,000.
How about that? He commented on our GoFundMe.
It's crazy.
So,
$4,000.
That's a lot of money. If you take kids out and just said, well, we're going to give it to the adults, That's empowerment. What is more empowering than money? I mean, am I being too, what's the word?
Simplistic?
Too materialistic about it? I mean, really, isn't money power empowerment?
Well, opportunity's empowerment. Too,
I mean, I wasn't joking or being insincere. I was serious. I thought that would help people more than I think all these programs do.
So you're on the universal basic income bandwagon.
No, I'm not on the universal. No. This is a moment in time where there's an opportunity to do something, and a lot of money is going in that direction. But I fear when I see it's going to, you know, and most of these programs, I don't even know what they are. And I just go, oh, I hope that's a good program. And I'm sure some of them are, and some of them are much less. But anyway, so when I was talking about that, a couple people sent me this string that's going around, because I've seen it in other places too. It's about where all the Black Lives Matter money goes. And anybody want to take a while? Trudy, take a guess. Where do you think it goes?
Al Sharpton.
Close. Political, well, yay. Political candidates.
In the ballpark.
No, you know, Al Sharpton might get some of it, but the big bulk of it goes to political candidates.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I did see the video that's circulating. Everybody sent it via Facebook or Twitter. The only thing is, I don't know how accurate that video is of somebody who's on his computer and he's clicking the donate, which redirects to another website, which when you open up, I think their expense report, I think their top like 5 or top 10 things that they push money to are all candidates for, you know, government.
Yes, and that is one way to get change. I mean, I'm not surprised by that. It wasn't what I thought. I don't know what I thought, honestly. You know, it's like the every guy that got me to like less movies. You know, I'm going to give $20 million to Time's Up.
Yeah.
Well, do we ever get to find out? I mean, a lot of people gave a lot of money Time's Up. Do we ever get to find out what the money did or what it's doing? Is it really doing anything? I mean, I don't know that it isn't. I don't know that it is either. Is it a good way to solve the problem?
I don't know. It's supposed to go to people that couldn't afford, you know, legal representation. You know, but, say a janitor that was sexually harassed or something.
Yeah, but there was stuff right from the get-go, like the president's son getting Me Too'd right out of the gate.
Yeah, but that, what does that have to do with the money?
Well, I'm just saying that there was just some sketchy stuff that went down almost immediately.
Well, yeah, I think the whole thing is a bit sketchy when the president, the president's son gets Me Too'd and she says, I believe him. It's not true.
Exactly.
Yeah, and so she had to step down.
Yeah.
And then, wait, that just happened with Alyssa Milano, who's the person that started it and said, we must believe women. And then she said, I believe Joe Biden. So, you know, I don't really know where they spend their money. Maybe they spend money on candidates, too. I don't know. But generally speaking, when you start a big organization like that, one thing I do know that happens quite often is that there's a board and there's a president and there's a COO and there's all these people and they make lots of money. And, you know, it costs money to administrate. It shouldn't cost that much to administrate money, but it always does.
No, no.
So I just felt like, I mean, the candidates should be working for you anyway in that category. I don't know. I still think my GoFundMe is a better idea, but whatever. Maybe somebody will tell me why.
Are you talking about this video, the opensecrets.org video?
I've seen the video, but that's not – there's another string going around that's a lot – it's like
– I mean, I'm not surprised
it's
either.
It's like 48 pages, and you go from one to the next to the next to the next. You know those things?
So apparently Act Blue and Win Red, the other side, are like fundraising platforms that collect money similar to PayPal or Stripe. Now, what they do – so they're collecting the money. What they do from that – I don't know, but I'm sure we can figure it out.
Well, they had
if it's a 501(c)(3), we should be able to figure out where the money's going.
They had specific amounts going to Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember who the other candidates were. I think it was Hillary Clinton because 2016 BLM existed. And there were a number of candidates that specifically mentioned, and it was a lot of money. But, you know, that's
Who would be surprised?
That's just my stupid idea. I hate politicians so much. I'm so tired of the way money runs everything. But, you know, hey, maybe that is the best way. Fuck if I know. All I know is if I felt that I wanted to be empowered, I would like nothing more than $5,000-$10,000 in my pocket to turn things around. Because, I mean, with $4,000, let's just say
4,000 $4,000.
And let's say you have three kids and each of your kids gets $4,000. That's $16,000. I would say, you know what, kids? I'll pay it back later. I'm going to make a down payment on this house. Or I'm going to, you know, I'm going to invest in something. I'm going to buy some mutual funds. Or I think I could do more with the money than a political...
United States.
I think I could help myself more than a political candidate could help me directly. But that's just my GoFundMe idea. And it's never going to happen, so I don't even know why I'm talking about it. So,
I don't know.
It's just an idea, just a thought. Now, today, I started out by watching, well, after I read the Joe Biden complaints, and I responded to them. and my response about Joe Biden, by the way, is generally speaking, when I've been complaining about Joe Biden, it's not about Joe Biden. It's about his kid, his brother, and honestly, if the story about
Hunter
was such a great story, and Frank was punch it! And wanting to leave the scene? What the fuck? And then he's the head of all these organizations down the road. I mean, it's just really distressing. Actually, the stories very much mirror each other, a lot of comparisons. But the story about the girl who claimed that Biden, you know,
touched her.
Assaulted her.
Fingered her.
That's
what she said.
There was a story about Biden saying he had 3 degrees and he had 1 degree and so on and so forth. Those stories really, honestly, I didn't want Joe Biden to step down or to say that Joe Biden assaults women, therefore I can't vote for him. My complaint was with the media and the media only, because the media treated it entirely differently than previous cases, whether it was celebrities or it was other politicians. It was handled very delicately. And honestly, if it was up to me, I would handle all cases as delicately, because to just go, so-and-so says so-and-so did this, and all of a sudden, you know, Kavanaugh and gangbang, front page New York Times. I think that's terribly wrong, and I'd rather see people treated the way Joe Biden was. But it was really the media element of it that intrigued me more than anything. And the same, with Hunter Biden, honestly, I felt the same way, because it kept being dismissed. This has already been, you know, and it was like, we don't even want to talk about this. So it wasn't that I wanted to bring down Joe Biden. And I don't know why he's a Democratic candidate. In fact, if you think of all the people who could be candidates for president, if you believe these two are the best, I think you're probably one of the only people.
That's a bunch of malarkey.
I think you're one of the only people who believes that. Do you think there are people walking around going, God, I'm so glad that we found two people this good to be the candidate for president? Is anyone saying that? Anyone?
No, I'm honestly surprised Biden is the candidate, because he's so moderate, since the fringe tend to run both parties.
You know, when I say that, I also will say that I think Joe Biden has as good a chance to win as almost anyone that would have been thrust in there. So, I mean, that's how silly it is.
Yeah.
And I guess, I don't know how much money he's raising, but I guess it's a lot more. And Obama's going to help him raise money, too. So I'm very interested in seeing how this election goes. Is there a recent poll, by the way, in the last couple of days on the presidential?
All the polls I see just show Biden smoking Trump everywhere, every which way. But then again, we saw the same thing in 2016, and Hillary was winning all the polls.
Not by this much.
But I think that...
So much so that Debbie Dingell's like, don't believe the polls, because she doesn't want people to not vote.
Well, if people don't vote, then I really don't believe they care that much anyway. I mean, if they say, oh, he's got it made, then they can't be that involved to really care.
You're going to get a lot of people voting this time around. I think so, too. I really believe that, because of these protests, you're getting people out, and people, I mean, trust me, whenever they're all coming together, there is a big push to, you know, get to the polls, to get registered. I really think there's going to be a much better turnout, especially with some of the communities that didn't turn out for Hillary.
It will be it'll be interesting, because, you know, it's right now it looks like it's a monstrous gap, just a monstrous gap. 14
would all
points.
This be happening if I had been elected president?
Yeah, coronavirus still would happen.
14
pipe
points
down you.
Yeah, get out of here, lady.
All right, Trudy, you want to mention Dr. Roche and what's going on over there?
Yeah, Father's Day is going on over there.
Father's Day? What? Dads don't need that kind of stuff. What are you talking about?
It's a misconception. All of those dads want to get out of their dad bods.
Okay.
Just unzip that, puffy
whatever. They're actually they're featuring male breast reduction. So, you know, guys who have a little bit of excess filler right up there and around their waist, male breast reduction is the way to get out of your dad bod and into a better bod. Trim, toning, and of course, fixing all of the cellulites areas or troublesome areas with 360 lipo, which targets the midsection. So dads are the focus. Father's Day, it'd be a great thing to get your dad a gift certificate from the Dr. Roche's office, and you can call them, or you could also teleconsult with them at 248-338-1110. And also Body Tight, which tightens everything up, stubborn fat areas and the whole thing. And they also have breast implants. That could be for daddy. For, you know,
what?
Your husband.
Breast implants?
Breast saline is breast implants. $3,500 for women, not for men.
Well, no, they've put them in men.
Happy Father's Day.
I mean, that does. It's not every day, but I'm not making fun of it. I'm just saying.
I wish I had a father.
Who's the killer that wanted breast implants and he got him in prison?
Richard Speck. He had great tits.
Speck. Yeah.
Speck had a.
So there's precedent. Nice. Right?
He had a lot of drugs.
Matthew Perry tits.
No, Specks are much bigger than Matthew Perry's. And Specks look natural, too. They were really good.
They were natural. Weren't they natural?
No. Oh, was he taking hormones?
I thought he was taking hormones, yeah.
Whatever Speck did, if I wanted to grow my boobs, I would find out what Speck did. I mean, call the family.
Does anyone ask Dr. Roche to analyze those breasts?
Oh, you know what? Dr. Roche probably knows because he knows everything.
Probably does. No, I would seriously get in touch with Speck's cellmate or something and find out who he used because those were good.
His lover.
So just as an off-track question, he could get them out whenever he wanted to, right? In prison?
No, I think Mark's saying they were natural. Yeah. He took hormones of some kind.
Yeah.
That's why I think we should get in touch with his cellmate if you're really interested.
Yeah, and take a look at the computer, Trudy. These are solid. I'd say C's.
Oh, and they're kind of
firm.
Pointing opposite directions, though, aren't they?
Speck had been in prison 27, 28 years when that video came out. He's got to be 50-ish.
How big are those
look
panties?
Look how firm they are.
Some big old panties he's got on.
Yeah, I wonder, where do these guys get panties? Well, I guess somebody can sneak
somebody
them in.
Somebody sends them to
him. In their butt.
If you're a man facing divorce
though.
Or custody issues, call Adam for nearly... They look better than I thought they did. Man, oh man. For nearly 30 years, Adam has been helping men just like you protect your rights and get the fair treatment in the court system you deserve. Don't take a chance with your future. Go with the best. Adam has you knowledgeable, aggressive, experienced attorneys you want. Call Adam at 248-356-2326, 248-356-ADAM for dudes.
Breaking news with Mort Krim.
Uh-oh. What?
It's only taken 17 years, but the Los Angeles District Attorney's Office has finally charged Danny Masterson with 3 counts of rape.
Oh, holy shit.
You know, faces up to 45 years in prison. I'm going to say when he's convicted, because those are pretty solid cases.
Well, you can also say that because the Church of Scientology will spend so much defending him.
Guess who's lawyers?
Wait. Danny Masterson, defense attorney.
Tom Cruise! Might as well be. Wouldn't that be great if he was at the table every day with his briefcase?
I think he has a...
dressed like his... yeah, exactly.
I believe he's got some people from the firm of Cruise and Miscavige.
You're glib.
Roy Black?
Tom Mesereau.
That's the best. It doesn't get any better. Tom Mesereau will get him off. You watch.
Yeah.
Although he didn't get Smollett off. Wasn't that Mesereau?
Smollett didn't have
Cosby.
A chance.
Was it Cosby?
Yeah, he didn't get Cosby off. He's on a losing streak.
He is. He almost never loses. Cosby raped like 70 women. I mean, come on, Mesereau. Yeah. Jesus Christ!
Masterson's only raped 3. But
it was
awful, awful story.
Bill Cosby, though. I mean, you would think you'd get Bill Cosby off. Just put him in that sweater. And
America's boop, dad, have him do a goofy face. Yeah,
he should have been doing that
jazz
at the defense table.
So dumb.
I think the sweater would have worked. It totally would have worked. I'm surprised they didn't think of that.
They decided to pretend he was blind.
Yeah, that was a bad call.
This whole story just makes me sick because... First of all, 17 years, because the Church of Scientology, per usual, they go after the victims, they follow them with cameras and PIs, and they dig up dirt on them, and they get other people in Scientology to say it's not true, and most of the people who were in the, I mean, there were a couple of instances, I believe, where there were parties. But all the people at the party are Scientologists. So they had then say, oh, no, she's lying. Because blah, blah, blah. And so it was really difficult to get this thing going. With Tom Mesereau, it is tilted so far the other way, I will be blown away if they get a conviction. Now, whether Danny Masterson ever recovers from this.
It's a four-year investigation. They must have some pretty damn
good
evidence.
Sure they do. But Tom Mesereau, come on, the Michael Jackson thing, really? Really?
Yeah, but Masterson's no Jackson.
Yeah.
Wait a second. Masterson's not as bad as Jackson.
No, but his fame isn't as big as Jackson's.
But neither is his the offense. I mean, Jackson was touring the world with 12-year-olds, separating himself from...
They lie.
Separating kids from families, spending the night after night, drinking Jesus juice and playing video games and having water balloon fights. He lived with 12-year-olds. His whole life was with 12. I mean, he had a fucking pedophile's dream for a house.
What were his charges? Like, what was he charged with? I don't even remember.
Jackson? Yeah. Child molestation, I think, wasn't it? Charlie was at the trial. And I think, in the end, you know what they did? Is some of these, some of the parents of these people became the targets. Because some of these parents, you know, any parent that allows their kid to be in Michael Jackson's world without a parent around for days, weeks, months on end, you know they've got to be either a parent that is uncaring or naive or you know, downright corrupt. They were wooed and they were overwhelmed by Michael Jackson's fame and they saw something in it for them. And in fact, one of the dads, the dad who went crazy when he found out Jackson had slept in the same bed with his son for 364 consecutive nights. Uh-huh. He was the one who tried to sell.
Yeah.
He tried to get Jackson to produce a screenplay or something for him. And those little tiny things, those goofy, stupid moments became the focus of, you know, a lot of those cases was, well, why did you, you know, you were trying to get money out of Michael Jackson. Where are you? I mean, and it becomes not about what the witness says or you know what is normal and prudent. I mean, if you'd paid $23 million to someone because they molested you or you molested them, I mean, even if you didn't, even let's just say Jackson never molested that kid, Jordy Chandler, would you ever hang around with a 12-year-old again? Of course you wouldn't.
Well, no, you
got
away.
That was a civil suit, and there was no evidence.
That's not how people think, though. They think I got away with it.
No, that's right. I mean, that's how he thinks. But I mean, if you, Mark Fellhauer, if you had to pay somebody a lot of money, let's say everything, you lost your house, you lost everything, would you be running around 12-year-olds afterwards? Would you take one on tour the next time you went on tour? Would you take a 12-year-old with you? No, you wouldn't. Nobody would. And in fact, that's allegedly why I married Lisa Marie Presley a year later. When the Jordy Chandler thing came up, he married Lisa Marie, and it was very fake.
Nobody thought this would last.
So, stupid. You know, Tony Ortega, who's got that website, anti-Scientology website, used to be a Scientologist.
Mm-hmm.
He was a film director, too, I think. So he's got a story about it, and he says since they broke the news, his website broke the news about Masterson, they found out some other things, including seven women eventually came forward, including four who were never Scientologists. So in the Masterson press release by a spokesperson, she only referenced five, three of whom's allegations led to charges, two whose cases they decided not to file. I'm sorry, that was the DA that said that. So she believed five of them, not out of the seven. The LAPD obtained internal Church of Scientology documents from the mother of one of the victims, which shows that the church knew about the allegations against Masterson.
Oh, yeah. They know all this stuff.
They
because you're supposed to report it to the church, not to the authorities.
But they have the documents, though. The LAPD does. And apparently the victim's story has not changed in the churches, you know, when they audit and talk to them about it.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't changed since 2003. That story's been consistent the whole time. During one of the rapes, Masterson waved a firearm, which was also a factor, along with
His story has never changed?
No, the victim's story.
The victim's story. Well, I really don't care if the victim's story is altered. I mean, that happens a lot, but it's stronger evidence. I know, but it's still Tom Mesereau. It's still the Church of Scientology. They have so much, and whoever's prosecuting it has a lot less. But we'll see. I hope it sounds to me like he is one bad apple. I mean, more than a bad apple. He's a fucking rapist. And I hope he gets put away. And he's completely unrepentant, too.
Can somebody,
do you think Ashton Kutcher would cry about this?
I was wondering the same thing. I don't think we're going to see that 70 Show reboot or a get-together or Where Are They Now 20 Years Later episode.
You know what's really funny about that? We played the Ashton Kutcher thing about BLM where he's crying because he explained it to his daughter. Was that what it was? Is that why he's crying?
Yeah, the daughter. Yeah. The son wanted to get the book read to him first.
And I got an email from somebody who sent me something, and then I looked it up because I was like, wow, this is incredible. And they want him canceled because he had a dog named Mr. Bojangles.
Ooh.
You need to leave.
Isn't there a restaurant?
Didn't seem crying about that.
Isn't there a restaurant called Bojangles?
Yes, there is. But it's not Mr. Bojangles.
No, it's Bojangles' Famous Chicken and Biscuits.
It's delicious, too.
Is there a difference between Bojangles and Mr. Bojangles?
Yes.
What is it?
Bojangles makes chicken. Mr. Bojangles was a racist figure or a subject of racism.
Did you guys, were you at all surprised with the corporate move to pull the Aunt Jemima branding?
No.
I'm surprised it didn't happen about 40 years ago.
Yeah. I know. I mean, God, that was so freaking hideous looking. I looked at the imagery from back in the day, and they had dolls for sale. Oh, it's just ridiculous. Well,
what's funny about it is that they've changed the image over the years to make it less racist and less. Now they're just fine. All right, it's racist. We'll get rid of it. Like they just came up like, we got rid of the the headdress. We got rid of this.
Did you hear Kellogg's is in trouble too?
That's ridiculous. Come on. That's just from some crazy person overseas.
No. Brandon, yeah. Rice Krispies is represented by three white boys. Coco Pops' mascot is a monkey.
Are they really in trouble?
I think, some people are putting pressure on them, but I don't know.
What's wrong with the Rice Krispies thing?
Snap, three crackle, white boys? And pop are two Caucasian?
No inclusion?
Is this a real thing, or is this somebody was mad on Twitter?
It's some political turd from the UK that's trying to put this in the forefront. Now, my biggest thing when I saw Aunt Jemima was I was curious about, hey, is Miss Butterworth next? And then I did a little digging and I learned that Mrs. Butterworth was white. I didn't know that.
Huh. Bloop.
Well, that's kind of weird. They quickly, the whoever owns Uncle Ben's rice also just, they're just like, okay, we're, changing the branding of that too, because that also is.
Oh, really? They have?
Yeah, I read that today in the article about the Aunt Jemima thing. They just want to get ahead of it. But that is, again, one of those things you would have thought they would have read the room better 10 years ago.
I thought this was brought up a long time ago, and I just didn't want to do anything. I mean, Lando Lakes just did something. On the subject of cancel, though, Chris D'Elia, be sort of finished.
Good, because he's not funny.
You know, Mark, I never think he's funny either. And I was.
Remember that terrible interview we had with him? He's such an asshole.
I don't even remember it.
It was at sports radio.
Why? I don't remember that either.
Why were we talking to him?
I think he was coming to town and he was a total dick.
Why did he go? Why did that go south, though? Because I remembered I had a very negative connotation. And I thought, I think we did.
I really don't remember why it went south. I just remember going, God, that guy's kind of a dick.
Well, yeah, I'll have to take a listen to it. I just know that at the time when we were getting ready for it, Bieber had come out and said that it was his favorite comic. And so
That's right.
Did we even air it? Or is it one that we just trashed?
We may not have aired it.
We might not have trashed it.
Because we did. I think we taped because he was on the West Coast. I really was intrigued when I saw that his podcast did so well. And in fact, this is what led me. One of the things that led me to who are these podcasts when I found out, there's someone who reviews podcasts. How about that? And I saw Chris D'Elia on there and I was like, oh my God. Because I had just been noting in my head how disappointed I was that so many comedians had podcasts. And I felt like it was just slapped out there, had sponsors. It was just a nice little way to make a paycheck. And because they're national comedians, people will always listen to them. Mm-hmm. But I mean, to a point, I think some guys are so sloppy and so bad, and it's so phoned in that it doesn't even last. I mean, you see him kind of fading. But Chris D'Elia is one of the top podcasts. So
he had an NBC show. Like, he had a sitcom.
He's on a Netflix show.
Yeah.
He was on Whitney. That's when I first learned about him. Whitney Cummings' show.
He's all over. He's done really well, and I'll explain what he did in a second. But first, I just wanted to say that Trudy?
The Netflix show, wasn't he a creep in the Netflix show, too? Yeah,
yes, he was.
Watched that, right?
Yeah. And Workaholics.
So I listened to the podcast, and it's him just total stream of consciousness, just totally winging it. Long delays and gaps while he sort of collects himself and decides what the next funny thing he's going to say is. And I thought, I just cannot believe this is one of the tip-top. I mean, I think I was probably jealous, for one. And number two, I felt like, God, all the fucking time we put in doing five shows a week, then this turd does one a week he puts no time into, and everybody fucking listens to it.
Yeah.
And maybe somebody will tell me they really like it, but I really was, it wasn't a, because I hear shows that aren't for me, and I go, that show's really good at what it's doing, and I understand it, and, you know, whatever. But when I hear just some slop, I get really bummed out. So anyway, I checked who are these podcasts, and like, Chris D'Elia, and I listened to it.
Terrible.
They had some great clips. And they had some, ooh, they did one on Bert Kreischer.
Oh, yeah.
Who's another one who...
I know a lot of people that like him. I think Bert's, I don't get it.
He seems like a really good guy, and I acknowledge he's extremely successful. I do not get what... it's just got to be that he's just young. He's in that age zone and has been, and he, you know, has pulled those people along with him. I don't get it. I really don't. It's just not he's just not the kind of comic I would like anyway. So I can't really knock him, but I just didn't think it was a good podcast. And Carlin with his podcast just blistered Bert Kreischer. Just blistered him. I mean, there's so many
big complaint about him.
That he's not paying attention. That guests are like going, what are you doing in your phone? Because he's hosting the show by himself, and he's in his phone answering, you know, I don't know what.
That's weird.
I mean, there's a lot. And he does long, long shows, too. And Carl just really kind of, Carl had a bit of a field day, I would say, with Kreischer. And I'm trying to think of what Carl's been doing recently. Has anybody heard the show? I haven't heard it in like 3 weeks. I've been so fucking busy, and I love the show.
Yeah, I haven't.
So I like when I stack up a few I haven't listened to. It's fun to go back and when I have some time, and I'm going to do that. And Carl, by the way, asked if we'd be interested in having a segment with him, maybe like a once a month, where he ran some clips from some really shitty podcasts.
Yeah. No, I like Carl. He's a good he's a good guest. You know why? Because he listens.
I think Carl would be, if we did it once in a while, I think it would be funny. I mean, we could use another feature, couldn't we? Get it sponsored.
He did the Perez Hilton podcast.
Oh, I don't think I've heard that. Geez. Is that new?
Yeah, June 7th.
Oh, I'm psyched.
Something called Ear Biscuits. I don't know what that is. The description is a couple of guys on crappy microphones in cavernous rooms talk about random nothingness.
The thing I love that Carl does, Stuttering John has the worst podcast. Bar none. It is so bad. And, you know, he seems to go to Opie and Stuttering John like every couple weeks. He'll have a couple clips from those shows. How awful they are. I haven't heard Opie on there. Is Opie pod faded?
I have no idea.
From Opie and Anthony?
He's got one on May 10th. NPR has put out a podcast that'll help you get through the pandemic of the coronavirus. The experts give you amazing advice like get some sleep and eat healthy food. Dynamite content.
Oof.
It's called the Social Distance Assistance.
I cannot emphasize enough, if you see who are these podcasts and you see the shows about Stuttering John is included, be sure to listen to at least that part, because it's just incredible. He is all about telling his guest about all the great things he does, and he's not really interested in the guest. They're just there to sort of hear about his accomplishments. And some of them are, I mean, I'm astounded. I mean, I feel sorry for Stuttering John, but I mean, they're trying to help him, and I don't think John's taking the advice. But anyway, speaking of sponsoring.
He was the best trumpeter when he was in second grade.
Yeah, he gets into his grades in first grade, and he was on TV when he was in second grade. Oh, my God.
Don't forget to get into what D'Elia did.
I will. First, I'll say this. Over the past couple of months, most people were affected financially one way or the other. If you're one of those people, call attorney Tad Klimek to learn your options before you have none. No one wants to file for bankruptcy, but shit happens. And since March, the entire country has been pretty well shit on. So Tad practices exclusively in Chapter 7, Fresh Starts, and Chapter 13, Restructuring. It's just Chad. When you get advice or you have your consultation, you will talk to Tad Klimek, not a paralegal or some, you know, putz who's figuring out if it's worthwhile. Consultations are free. And since there's a, boy, it's a nice thing that in the bankruptcy business, the consultation's free, isn't it? Mm-hmm. consultations are free, and since there's no physical hearing right now, it's all done via phone and video. So this is something you're thinking about, but I don't want to declare bankruptcy. Maybe I have to. You can do it on the phone. You don't have to get in your car and go anywhere. You don't have to put a mask on. He's a huge podcast listener, so he talks in drops, so you can do all those South Park drops with Tad.
Yeah, it's gone, yeah.
He gets in today's climate. It's more important than ever to call him. Go to KlimekLawOffice.com, K-L-I-M-M-E-K, LawOffice.com. It's actually Tad answering the questions. He also won't have any fees or costs. If you're feeling the pressure, visit KlimekLawOffice.com, K-L-I-M-M-E-K. Take advantage now. Remember, know your options before you have none. Chris D'Elia, it seems that he's another one of these guys, and boy, most of them are these YouTube superstars who are, you know, 19, 20, and they're just these big, giant stars, and they like younger girls. And they find that, you know, these 14, 15-year-old girls will just fall in their wake because they go, hey, send me a couple pictures. And you know, for someone who grows up on YouTube and social media, these TikTok stars, these, you know, whatever they may be, YouTube stars, mm-hmm. they're larger than life to these young girls. And so, you know, in reading the stories about some of the other cases, I mean, it really, it's heartbreaking when you see that these girls are like, oh, I couldn't believe I was talking to blank.
Yeah.
You know, he's my hero. It's the person I love. I watch everything he does.
Remember the story?
I've seen girls do that.
Remember the story about the hype house and the neighbors that were really mad about it? They said that girls would just show up to the street looking for that house.
Young girls.
Just to knock on the door, yeah.
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 So then what happens is these guys say, hey, send me a picture. Send me a picture of your cheerleading outfit. You know, send me a picture of your underwear. And these girls who are really uncomfortable, but also like, well, this guy who's really my hero is telling me to do this, so I they're putting this horrible position.
You want to face the wall, put your hands up on the wall, and arch your butt back towards me.
So naturally, some of them do it, and they feel horrible, and quite often I notice that it doesn't go a lot further than that. But sometimes, you know, that one guy, the girl ended up going to the house, and you know. She has sex, and she, you know, he treats her like complete dog shit because these guys are, you know, their egos are out of control. Some of them are probably narcissists, I'm sure, and they're oftentimes they're these really nerdy guys who just know how to make a good TikTok or know how to be, you know how to do something fun on YouTube for people their age or younger, and they become these gigantic stars, and they make a ton of money too. So Chris D'Elia, not really in that category. He's older. You know, this guy really takes off. How long ago did Chris D'Elia really take off? At least 10 years ago, right?
Yeah, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he would have been like 28, 30 years old, and he's really blowing up. And then Bieber says he's his favorite, which I'm sure didn't hurt him any. Well, he starts DMing these girls on Twitter who are 16, 15, sounds like they're mostly 16, 17, 15.
Many of which who've saved the screenshots all these years later.
Yes. So he wants pictures. He sent nude pictures, I guess, to a couple of them. And just, he's just a horrible guy. And no one in his world, by the way, and this is kind of disturbing to me, but no one in his world is surprised by this. Did anybody read about this and see what other comedians were saying?
Yeah.
They're not surprised.
And it all starts with this one girl, and I was just going through her tweets, and boy, is she getting piled on by people that just...
Oh, Chris D'Elia fans?
I don't know if they're D'Elia fans or what it is.
What the fuck? You know...
Incels are... She even addresses the incels that are just attacking her, which that's nice, so... incels are just all over.
But how do we turn the United States of assholes back into the United States of America? If we turn the corner, can we ever turn back? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, this mob behavior is just ridiculous. It's crazy. And I'm kind of amazed that nobody really...
His big move, by the way, seemed to be like, hey, let's meet up at this place. And then he changes the place. And mm-hmm. next thing you know, it's the hotel bar. Then he's like, well, just come on up to my room.
Very Weinsteinian.
Yeah. And then another one, the girl came to his door, and he got mad for ringing the doorbell wrong.
That's a control move. You know, I never understood that stuff like R. Kelly, you know, face the wall, only wear sweats around guys. That's a real...
And that's, yeah.
Grooming sort of I control you thing. But, you know, usually control is more, it's not that subtle. It's, you know people who are living with a controlling person, it's not like that. It's not usually that extreme. It's more, anyway.
So that person said after a few minutes of talking, I told him I was a virgin. His eyes lit up and he excitedly asked,
ah, gross.
So if we have sex, it'll probably hurt you, right? I immediately got creeped the fuck out. Scared he was going to hurt me. She then explained that she was only in the house for around 30 minutes before leaving, but that even though I was of legal age and consented to going over there, he was predatory and, to be honest, scary. So that one's not even a crime, really.
No.
Another comedian tweeted, when I was a brand new comic, one of his best friends warned me to never send Chris nudes because he made them into memes and showed other male comics at shows. Looks like some of those memes were probably of underage girls. No wonder I don't miss comedy yet. Another account with the handle has been sharing anonymous DMs from women who are claiming he solicited nude pictures from them and tried to meet up with them, including one who says they were 16. Comedian Lane Moore tweeted, who would have known Chris D'Elia was was a creep other than anyone who's ever looked at him or heard him say things. Another comic, yep. Amy Miller said, if cowards had fired Chris D'Elia a long time ago for being bad at the job of stand-up comedy, he wouldn't have had a time to creep.
How did he get so big? I don't know. I guess it's just like not my brand of comedy. I mean, I don't know what to say about that.
He was in a roast, wasn't he? Which one was he?
You're right.
Which roast was he on?
Oh, boy.
The roast of Justin Bieber.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's the one where the reason why he was up there, the reason why he was invited was because Justin Bieber told him he was his favorite comedian. And that really helped launch. I think that was 2015. But after that, he really exploded after that, because that's when he started getting the deals for sitcoms and specials on, you know, Comedy Central.
Oh, because the Beliebers would all watch?
Oh, yeah.
Big How weird is that? By the way, every time I hear the name, when you said Justin Bieber, I always think of an 11-year-old kid.
Yeah, he'll always
that
be.
That name
yeah.
just doesn't sound like an
it was
adult.
Justice Bieber.
Yeah. Do you want to
I'll
hear
be over at Justin Bieber's house.
Do you want to hear
Thank
any of
you,
that?
Thank you, Justin.
I'm playing kickball with Justin Bieber.
Do you want to hear any of that?
His roast of Justin Bieber?
Yeah.
Sure. I don't remember seeing this. Did we watch it?
I thought it was good. I thought that he did a pretty good job. I can't remember, though, I guess.
Chris D'Elia. Holy shit.
Don't even know his name.
I'm playing kickball with Justin Bieber.
If you didn't know, he's a star of the NBC show Undateable. And Chris's stand-up is actually unwatchable. I've seen it. It hurts. He is Justin Bieber's favorite comic, which is why he has "duh" in the middle of his name. Well, please welcome future rapist Chris D'Elia.
Oh, yeah. On the nose.
Wow.
No, seriously, keep going for the ghost of Chris Tucker, everybody. No, Kevin's a good guy, and of course he's here because he can't say no to anything. Last week he hosted an ISIS beheading video on Reddit. Hey, Shaq's here. People don't realize this, but Shaq, those I Can't Breathe t-shirts, they were about Shaq's last season with the Celtics. Jeff Ross, hey, how about this the fact sense. That if there weren't roasts, Jeff Ross would work at IKEA? We all do other things, which is why we're on the roasts. You're on the roast because you're on the fucking roasts.
Fuck yeah!
Ludacris, what do you do now anyway, okay? You were a rapper. You make headphones that no one listens with. You make Hennessy that no one drinks. You're like a human going at a business sale. Snoop Dogg. What's up? It's cool you're here. You look like Dead Splinter from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Pete, it's really good to see you.
Pete Davidson.
50 Shades of Grey was based on your complexion.
Softball.
Pete is the same race as whatever the fuck The Rock is and any parking attendant ever.
Stop laughing. It's not fun.
Justin Bieber, the man here. Huh? Let's hear it. Why are you here? This is a terrible idea. You're about to get fucked harder than Orlando Bloom fucked Selena Gomez. For a guy worth $200 million, why do you dress like Sharon Stone in the 90s? You look like Cisco fucked Peter Pan and then got cast on Orange is the New Black. Baby is the most hated video online, like statistically, if you check that shit out, okay? And there are also ISIS videos online, okay? That means that someone saw a video with a guy screaming death to America and sawing someone's head off and thought, nope, still not worse than Bieber featuring Luda in a bowling alley. Thank you. Thank you, guy half my age. Seriously, man,
what
I'm proud of you.
What are you laughing
you
at?
You literally are a guy who has it all, except for respect, love, friends, good parents, and a Grammy. Thank you.
No, wait, I got to finish holding my sides.
Ha, 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 ha. Well,
that was fucking awful.
I don't think
Doesn't the host usually roast each and every kind? Oh, that's we heard the one that I guess.
Yeah, Kevin Hart
kind of
introducing
the horn.
Him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he, you know, the thing is, once this happens, and there's seven. Is it still seven girls, or are there more than seven yet? There's got to be more.
Four? You mean
the seven girls that jumped into the fray on this and said, "Yeah, me too."
Oh, I didn't know there were seven.
Yeah, there's seven. Last night there were seven. I don't know how many there are now.
Hmm.
Is there anything new on this, Brandon?
I haven't seen any additional. The only thing that I've seen is he has since come out and denied the allegations that he's harassed any underage girls online. He does have a statement. He says,
I think this is very Bill Clintonian, by the way. I feel like he's trying to tell the truth and not tell the truth at the same time. Because the first part, he says, I've never met or exchanged any inappropriate photos with the people who've tweeted about me. Well, the people tweeted about it. That's seven people.
And then he added,
what about the rest of the world?
He also added, all my relationships have been both legal and consensual. Did you add that part too, or no?
These allegations are false.
Well, I mean, he makes it sound like this is going to sound really incredible, but, you know, I've checked ID with everyone.
Yeah, bullshit.
So, yeah, he says after he said that business about he's never met or exchanged any inappropriate photos of the people who have tweeted about me, he says, that being said, I'm really, truly sorry. Sorry for what? What are you sorry for? I thought you said that you've never met or exchanged. So is this about the people that you haven't that have not tweeted about you?
I was a dumb guy who absolutely got myself caught up in the lifestyle. That's my fault. I own it.
What do you own? Tell us what you own and maybe we can...
I guess I was wrong.
Negotiate.
It was a simple mistake, and I'm really sorry.
I've been reflecting on this for some time now, and I'll continue to do better.
I love how he's just become Bill Clinton.
Mm-hmm. My mistake.
Well, did anybody Guess talk?
I'll be on my way then.
Nobody talked their way out of a mess like Bill Clinton. I mean, he really made himself sound like he was, okay, I did a bad thing, but in the end, I was a hero because I, you know, I saved the most important part, which was me being president.
And reading these tweets, it's taken me to another blog about Corey Feldman's former angels are speaking out about him.
Oh, no!
That he is the one that's a sexual predator.
You know, this Corey Feldman thing, I'm just amazed at how far he took this and how many appearances, how many times he's shown up in legitimate media to continue his sort of celebrity existence while saying nothing.
This is really interesting because it's almost like he took a, a page out of Jackson's book.
Well, that would make sense. He's read all Jackson's
stuff.
Definitely
would.
This lady says, three worst things happened that forced me to end my relationship with Corey Feldman. First, after inviting me to his birthday party, I was told by the doorman that I had to pay to get in or take my clothes off. I called Corey all pissed off, and he stated he would only let me in if I agreed to walk around in a bra and thong for his friends.
You're a doorman, okay? You're a doorman. Doorman. Doorman.
After,
doorman.
After an argument in which I obviously won, I managed to get into the party without doing either, but I was clearly...
Okay, why did she... If this was so hurtful, why did she want to go to
his
party?
It was a birthday party.
Oh, God.
It was his birthday party.
Whatever.
The accusations against Feldman are beyond horrendous. Emotional abuse, controlling with what the women around him wore and ate. Physical assault, nonstop sexual harassment, plying women with drugs and alcohol to render them either willing or unconscious enough to have sex with them, non-consensual sodomy.
Oh, we know where you learned all this.
Where?
Jackson, his buddy.
Exactly. Yeah.
He has the Michael.
I mean, this is just.
What if the police had a search warrant and under his bed they found the Michael Jackson playbook. And inside was Jackson going, hee hee. Followed by his various proclamations. Always have Jesus juice ready for the children.
The second time I had to console a young...
Have a Ferris wheel.
The second time, I guess this must be another party that... another birthday party that he had. I had to console a young woman who had plied with so many drugs and alcohol that she hadn't gotten ill. I had held her hair while she cried and threw up while Corey stomped around angry because she wouldn't have sex with him. God. He just kept getting madder and madder, demanding that she go into the bedroom and have sex with him. She just threw up.
I mean...
Gross. Feldman?
What a picture that is of that little putz, Corey Feldman, stomping around.
I know.
Like he's someone special. He's a zero. He's a complete zero. I can't... You know, when I see who his new girlfriend is or his, you know, his... What do they call them? The angels?
Angels, yeah, that are turning
like,
on him now.
Who? How long can this go on? It seems like any minute now, every female who's under 40 years old, at least, and then more, hopefully the rest of them too, will just say, you're nobody. You're stupid looking. You're old, and you're not a star. So I'm not falling for it, Feldman. Cut it out.
Corey liked using his celebrity status to reel in young, usually out-of-town naive girls, but it turns out he also convinced them that a makeup sponge dipped in a questionable spermicide he had bought from China would protect them from every disease in the world, including AIDS. He claimed that Charlie Sheen showed him this method and that it was 100%
failed. Wait, Charlie Sheen boo-fooed Corey Haim, according to him.
I know.
And then wouldn't talk to him afterward.
But he uses his method?
And Charlie Sheen also, that method doesn't work because he got AIDS.
Yeah. This is a long story.
Oh my God,
I'll print it out for you and then we'll go through it.
Well, read a little more. I'm just kind of
going through it right now.
Well, so. I can give you a second to read some while I play this audio because we know that he treated the angels like shit because don't you remember the voicemail after one of his angels screwed him over?
Crystal, it's Corey. I'm wanting to believe that this is a joke. You gotta be joking, right? This isn't real. Like, no human being on this earth would be selfish enough and egotistical enough and fucked up in the head enough to fuck friends over like this at the last minute. Like, you know that I spent real money and you know that I'm struggling and you know how hard it has been to get to this point. And like, no person would do this to another group of people that they call friends unless you're like a soulless, careless, like inhumane fucking piece of shit. So I really hope for all fucking practical purposes that this is a fucking elaborate joke and that you're going to call and say that this was all a joke or you were just playing or something. Because if I don't fucking hear from you, girl, your name is fucking Mud. Let me tell you, don't even bother coming back to L.A. You'll never get another gig in that fucking town.
Wait,
ever. Like, I will fucking make sure everybody knows what a piece of shit you are.
See that powerful?
Very cool, Pete.
He must be so powerful. Don't come back to L.A. We got nothing to lose, so baby, let's go for it. Come on, let's go for it. That video of him dancing, or that when he's on Today Show, dancing like Michael Jackson is the funniest thing.
Doing his little bird flap. So this blogger...
If he was 6 years old, it would have been cute.
This blogger's compiled stories. There's just a ton of them. So this first one is Mara Moon, musician and former bandmate, so former angel. She's talking about how long it's taken her. The easiest thing for me to do right now is to walk away from everything I'm seeing and trying to maintain what it is at best an unconscionable non-disclosure agreement crafted only to benefit one party's abhorrent business practice.
Oh, Corey has NDAs too?
You got it, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Oh, my God. I just so wish that the Supreme Court would just come out and say, NDAs don't mean anything. And everybody who is being held down by an NDA could just spill it.
Only if it's about a personal relationship, I would say.
What do you mean?
Well, there's that big case between, is it Uber and Google? Because the one guy left and they said...
Oh, no, I'm not talking about people having secrets, the secret recipe to Coke. I'm talking about people who have people sign NDAs because they've committed a crime. And they've given them money to shut up about it. Which is apparently a lot more common than we ever imagined.
So let's see. This just chick said, I did not leave the tour because I was in fear of my life from outside people. My safety and health were jeopardized by my employer, Corey Feldman. Practically every day I was on tour, I was not comfortable with what I was being asked to be a party of, and it did not sit well with me. From the onset, Corey had expressed to everyone on tour that he was going to start a campaign in order to generate some funds. This was not a spur of the moment afterthought when the tour fell apart. He had this in mind from about October 14th in Reno. To be honest, I did not have a full understanding of what he was doing, but in my gut, it did not sit well. It felt dishonest, and I didn't like being asked to be part of it. So in other words, I guess he was going to book a bunch of shows and get paid ahead of time and then cancel them. Is that what he's talking about?
I don't know. I mean, it sounds plausible.
The verbal abuse and condescension was ongoing.
I feel sorry for anyone. These are all attractive young women, maybe 20, 22, and to think that they believe that their ticket to some great position in entertainment in Los Angeles is to be one of Corey Feldman's angels. I mean, that's so pathetic and sad.
On one occasion, I had lost pieces to my Lolita costume. Was forced through being yelled at to find pieces in a lost and found of undergarments. Gross. I was yelled at to just wear them and had them thrown at me when clearly they were soiled with either menstrual or fecal matter.
What? Oh, God.
Yeah, I think that right there should tell you that, you know, if he can't afford new uniforms or dry clean the old ones, that things are pretty bad.
The contract I signed guaranteed food, suitable accommodations, a safe and drug...
Contract? For what? What are they contracted for?
Well, it doesn't matter.
What is the remuneration is what I'd like to know.
To date, none of the contractual obligations have been met. I was subjected to accommodations contrary to the contract. I was made to share a bed with two other adult women while the motel room was comped by the venue. I was guaranteed food, but it was rationed to the point where I received a quarter of a veggie burger while the others that are not vegans ate full portions. I was told to, quote, get the fuck up and put the groceries away by Corey. They were not my groceries. They were Courtney and Darcy's groceries. They were picked for themselves and paid out of the tour food budget, a privilege I did not receive. I was not allowed to eat any of them.
The tour budget. I'd love to see what the tour budget was.
I was subjected to domestic altercations between Corey, Courtney, and Darcy, their quote-unquote girlfriend. They were violent and senseless with loud yelling, arguing, door slamming, is all fueled by drugs. Yes, there were drugs.
You know, he always claims he's so clean and so together. He just wants to help.
Looks like he stinks.
She ended up renting a car because the RV they were traveling in, she didn't like the way it was being driven erratically.
Did Corey cover that, or is that in the contract?
The sleeping arrangements in the RV were less than ideal for a group of adults. I don't know. I'll print it out. There's honestly like seven girls' stories in here.
Okay. Yeah, please print that out.
Yeah, pretty wild.
Zot Ford and DealsAndEasy.com is fired up. The community customers and the Zot Auto team are excited to be back at full strength to safely serve all your automotive needs. Jim Bentley is back at Zot. And if you're looking for some wheels, the showroom is open, full of safe social distancing, as well as the hottest sales staff in Oakland County. Yes, the showroom is now open. You can go online to enjoy their enhanced online shopping experience and maybe get ahead of the game a little bit before you head in. And the unprecedented deals include a new 2020 Fusion, as low as $115 a month. Then there's America's number one truck, a new 2020 Ford F-150 Supercrew XLT 4x4, as low as $125 a month. And then the all-new 2020 Ford Explorer, as low as $198 a month. Finally, if you want to own your next vehicle, Zot Ford has over $10,000 in rebates on tons of inventory, and some people do want to own. Speaking of inventory, you have to hurry because, as you know, the factory shutdown is inventory drying up quickly. So that means your best selection is today. So get the party started at dealsinthed.com. Is that our last commercial? I think it is.
Man, we got it isn't.
No. Yeah, we have a boner. You want to do the boner line now? Let's do it.
You got it.
How is the boner line?
Well, because, listen. You can't, I can't help it. All the separated at births, they keep coming. So I think it would be an injustice if I didn't put them in there. I didn't want to waste anybody's time. So today's is an all separated at births.
What?
And I know all you haters can just skip it.
Jeez.
I'm proud of it.
Wow. Not quite as proud as all those cameo people that you're pushing on us. Good God, I've never heard such an endorsement.
Ruben stuttered.
Manscaped. Go to manscaped.com, use the promo code Drew, get 20% off and free shipping with the code Drew at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code Drew, your balls will thank you. You know about the Lawnmower 3.0 with the incredible, beautiful charging stand. Show your mower off loud and proud because this intelligently designed stand is a convenient charging dock powered by USB. It always sounds better if it's a dock, doesn't it? Water-resistant technology allows you to shave in the shower, and it is, it's not one of those things that's going to nick you and injure you and one of those, kind of things. The Lawnmower 3.0 can be trusted. It is the best trimmer ever created for testicles. And just released, of course, the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0, which is what so many people are picking up. And the engineering team obsessed over technological developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. And that's why you need to use promo code Drew at manscaped.com so you can get 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com, promo code Drew. And they bring you the boner line.
Oh, my God. These fucking audio separated at birth. They've got to stop. They've jumped the shark. Brandon, you kick ass with the boner line, but stop letting these people get their stupid audio separated at birth through it. I've had enough. We've had enough of them.
Keep up the separated birth, though. Fuck what anybody else thinks. Who cares?
Personally, I happen to think the audio separated at birth are hilarious.
The audio separated at birth, I look forward to on a daily basis.
Audio separated at birth. The guy bitching about the audio separated at birth on the hotline and the bagel guy.
I can't believe how infectious this separated at birth is.
You want to step outside? You want to step outside? Huh?
Audio separated at birth. The guy complaining about too many audio separated at birth on the boner line and the guy who wanted Riff to start rocking. Now.
No more separated at birth. Get rid of them. I don't ever want to hear.
What's up with your format? Start rocking!
Audio separated at birth. The guy that called the boner line yesterday to cry about the audio separated at birth and Righteous Rick.
He is separated at birth with Righteous Rick.
And Righteous Rick.
The boner line has become so lame.
No underage nude in that phone.
Those 25 seconds that he called into the boner line should be taken away from his next appearance.
So boring, I just Dreamweaver through the whole segment now.
It was two older chicks with tattoos. Aaron Carter's going to do what Aaron Carter's going to do.
Audio separated at birth. June 10th show. Second guy on the boner line. The one complaining about all the people calling in separated at birth. He is audio separated at birth with Eli Zarrett.
Eli Zarrett.
That sounds like Eli.
He sounds like Eli.
With Eli Zarrett.
Audio separated at birth with Eli Zarrett.
Well, it's at 1 minute, 31 seconds, and 18. Unbelievable.
You know what? You know what? You're both idiots.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
I love watching women's golf.
Since it's boner line's become audio separated at birth now, I just remembered one that's been bothering me now for a while. Walter, the booth announcer, and the dude on the Ohio Players' Funky Worm. Check it out.
He's the funkiest worm in the world. Okay, take it, fellas.
That motherfucker play those keyboards.
Hey, Boner's got an audio separated at birth. Drew at the 139.46 mark on the 6-8 episode, where he says, oh, yeah, and John Madden.
One of CrossFit's top athletes.
Yeah, I'm in a meeting right now, so I can't talk.
Audio separated at birth for the Friday podcast. 12:37 in. Drew and one massive man. Drew grunted just like the muscle bound guy that wants to fuck himself.
I'm gonna guess it's like.
yes, sir.
Separated at birth. The June 12th show, 149.07. Trudy laughs exactly like the old lady on Cops in the trailer.
Trudy laughs exactly like the lady from Cops.
Why can't he get a loan from Hudson's?
He's a little short of cash.
Probably could get a loan.
Well, why doesn't he?
Because he could buy it for $1.
But I thought he was unable to get the construction loan.
Yeah, guys, I just got separated at birth. Mark, when he's reading a Zot Ford on the Monday episode, sounds like he's about to say the Holiday Inn.
You, the world-class experience you deserve during the
Holiday Inn.
Audio separated at birth, June 8th, episode at 2:32:10, Brandon. Wait a minute, lady.
I don't know if that's good enough.
Wait a minute, lady.
219.05, there's audio separated at birth. It's Drew's Marge Schott and Drew's Larry Flint.
That was Schott's, he said that.
After he took a dump.
Oh. Audio separated at birth, Larry Flint and Sammy. Oh.
I got an audio separated at birth. Matt Farley's Let's Play House song and the theme song to Blades of Steel.
The most prolific songwriter in the world, Matt Farley, ladies and gentlemen.
Separated at birth, the last No Filter Sports podcast with Dennis Kalnish and Count David Wimp.
There was a lot of gunslingers back then.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of tough guys.
I don't have a computer, so I don't know.
I have an audio separated at birth when you guys were playing the Rudy Giuliani audio clip. I seriously thought that was Righteous Rick. He sounds so much like that angry little man.
You're the one who got thrown off of television here.
That vile, nasty woman.
You had ratings that were about 2.
Yeah.
So don't tell me I've lost anything.
I don't give a flying fuck what anybody says.
What do you want to do, huh?
And that concludes today's boner line. They just keep coming. I have so many separated at births.
Okay.
And they're very exhausting because a lot of them you have to go back to record what was on the show.
Can we just put a temporary lid on separated birth? And maybe what about, I have an idea. You know what I love is hearing a drop I haven't heard in a long time. Could people maybe ask for some drops that we never play that we used to play? And maybe we can either discover that we don't have them or we could realize that they're in there and we should be using them.
Call us up 209-66-BONER.
Oh, boy. Another cancellation. That's 209-66-BONER.
It's a very important cancellation, too.
209-66-BONER. I'm watching Siesta Key last night. Hoo-ah. I know. What an embarrassing.
Trudy's already laughing at that sentence.
It's such an embarrassing thing to say. But the show is so horrible. It's one of those good, bad watches. And even then, it's marginal, so it's a really bad watch. But I don't know. There's something just so horrible about it.
That's true. I've seen that. I've watched that.
It's impossible to like anyone on the show.
Mm-hmm. This is the show, remember, that was started by the lawyer.
Yeah, the father of
1-800-ASK-GARY or call Gary.
Yeah, and he's loaded. He wanted to sponsor. He wanted to name the stadium in Tampa.
Yeah,
1-800-GARY or whatever.
It's Gary time.
Call Gary. Or...
He's really low. He's unbelievably loaded, and he decided that his son is so special that. He wanted to film him and his friends and sell a pilot to MTV. Of course, his son is the star. And he did.
Yeah.
And so Siesta Key was born. And Alex Campothacris? Mm-hmm. Alex, whatever. He is the biggest asshole. I can't even express what an asshole he is. Yeah. He treats everyone like dog shit. He thinks he's a badass, which is really funny because, I mean, so many people could beat the shit out of him and do. Last season, I think he started with his jaw wired. because somebody punched him. Oh. But he's always having big parties and, you know, at his parents' house.
Yep. He's never done anything.
He's never done anything, no. He's in law school now, and he's really buckling down. Some school in Florida. I don't know. It's probably University of Cuba.
Is it Ask Gary University?
It might be.
Did he start his own university?
Anyway.
It's Gary time!
When I hear the term white privilege and I see people apologizing for white privilege, I think of these people as the people that should be apologizing. If anyone has to apologize for something.
I don't think anyone should apologize for that, but yeah.
I mean, they are the most entitled. There's not enough words to describe how
they're
horrible
assholes.
They are.
They're just complete, assholes.
Yeah, they're little putzes, but they all are made of rich families, and they're all given everything. No one earns anything, but they all have a ton. And they all also seem to get great jobs. Some of them do. Mm-hmm. Although I've never understood, like, there was a bar on the show that was on the beach. You would think, a bar on the beach in Siesta Key? There's never more than four people there, ever. Every time, because Chloe was the bartender for a while, and it's like, man, it's a decent weekend night. Why are there three people there? And, of course, some big fight breaks out between the three people. And then and this guy, one
like
guy,
studio.
Brandon, is a rapper, and he's going to go on tour and stuff. So he has his big, I think it was an album debut or something, and there's like 13 people
there.
That's
a great name.
That's about right.
Which is like, wow, that's the biggest crowd I've ever seen anywhere on Siesta Key.
I wonder how that album did.
Well, look it up. Look up Brandon Siesta Key Music.
That's a great name.
So anyway, this brat kid, Alex, who is such an asshole, I just can't. You know, I remember when he got his jaw wired when the season started, and I was like, oh, well, somebody beat the shit out of him finally. And I just expected more horrible things to happen to him. And, oh, oops. Instagram posts have resurfaced capturing the star. He's not a star. His father made him a star. Mm-hmm. Using a racial slur in a comment and engaging with racist content posted on the app. So...
You need to leave. It's disgusting.
So anyway, the third season starts last night, and somebody emailed me, I think it was during the show or right after the show. When I say someone, this is someone, and they said, have you noticed anything weird about Siesta Key yet? And
seriously?
I swear to God.
That's incredible.
And I wrote back just because I was just looking through shit during commercials or something, and I said, yeah, where's Alex? And that was exactly what they were trying to say.
He's the main star, isn't he?
Yeah. And there was only one shot of him in the entire show. He was going to somebody's charity event. And by the way, the charity events on that show are a joke because they spend more money on the outfits and all the decor and all the little bands that play.
Yeah.
They spend like $50,000 for the event, and then they raise like $5,000.
Yeah. I don't think that's unique to Siesta Key.
But there were, I have to say, that was a massive crowd for Siesta Key. There were probably like 30 people there. So anyway, he was invited to this event even though his girlfriend had dumped him, or no, he broke up with her for cheating, and then she cheated with him and his new girlfriend. She had sex with him, and then she called the girl
nice
to say,
people.
Alex fucked me all weekend long when we were in Nashville.
But weird.
But they invited him because they thought it would make more money for the charity if he showed up and made a donation.
Okay.
So he shows up, and at one point they showed the back of his head, they showed his new girlfriend, and then they showed his car leaving the event. They never showed him, and I thought, what is going on with Alex?
Well, now you know.
Yeah, his racist content. Apparently, they limited his opening appearance to a shot of the back of his head. MTV apparently cut down the premiere from its originally promoted two-hour runtime to 54 minutes. Oh, I see. So without the star.
Yeah. Yeah.
Campathers and girlfriend Alyssa welcomed their first child. Wait. There's no kid. I watched it last night. What's going on?
It's not done in real time?
You can't tell me this.
Crazy. They ruined it. Spoiler alert.
Monday fellow Siesta Key star Chloe said that while she was Campothecris the best, she also hopes this baby changes him.
Fake.
But she added, I don't think it's going to. And I think Alex is a horrible human being. So why are you on a show with him? Why isn't the show canceled?
Because daddy
is the show.
Because daddy's the producer.
Oh my God.
It's just funny because, yeah, we don't want people to get canceled, but we don't like this guy. So it's kind of funny.
It's kind of funny. Well, he can't cancel him because he's in his dad's construction business. His dad's trying to buy up all of Siesta Key.
He'd have to be separated from his family to be canceled from anything.
His dad was saying last night, well, I'm glad that Alex will be getting out of law school soon. I need some help with this business. Like, yeah. He's going to be such a big help.
Here's Brandon's one of Brandon's songs.
That's a great name.
I think I can do this. I
say, hey, pretty lady, look at you. Walking with a smile that'll brighten up the room.
Young, dumb, I promise this guy will. No excuse. He will be in the negative column in the world for his entire life. I guarantee it. He will not ever be an asset.
Mind your own business, Brandon.
What happened to Brandon the Rapper? Did you find anything by Brandon?
This is him.
This is Brandon?
Yeah, that's what I said. This is Brandon's music.
What did you think it was, Drew?
How dumb do you think I am?
He did much better. He had a much better song at the premiere. It's an album release party.
Is it the song Liar?
Brandon. Okay.
There was another guy.
Bye, Brandon.
Mark.
Huh?
There was another guy who, by the way, also was debuting some rap music, I think, at the bar, and he was beset by technical problems, and there was a lot of yelling.
Oh, no.
Some people were blown out.
I hope that wasn't staged.
Oh, God.
Do you want to hear some very upsetting news?
I don't know if I can take any more upsetting news today.
Kim Kardashian has signed an exclusive podcast deal with Spotify.
What, $10 million a year?
I don't know. They haven't released the terms, but has she ever done a podcast?
I don't think so.
It aims to highlight the nonprofit legal organization seeking to overturn wrongful convictions.
Oh, yeah, she's a lawyer.
Which is exactly what people want to hear from Kardashian. Do you think that's what her fans want?
It'll get tons of clicks.
I'd love to know. I think it'll get clicks originally, but if it's really about that, I think by the third episode, most people go, I just like the show on TV. I mean, if it's really about that, if she mixes in some other stuff, Kanye turns up, you know, and plays some tunes or something.
It's going to be about her work with the Innocence Project. So
okay, it's not going to. It's not. People are not going to listen to it.
No,
I'll keep an eye on Chartables for it. Oh, I haven't checked our rank lately. By the way. Should I do it right now? Why not?
Spotify exclusive, though. That's interesting.
And we were down over the weekend. I was very disappointed. Usually we fall to about 170 over the weekend. We're 200. God damn it. But then we popped up to 135. That's pretty good for early in the week.
Yay.
For us.
For some reason, our logo's still not showing up either.
I know. What the fuck? What is going on?
Congratulations, everybody.
The Charlie LaDuff show getting bumped down and... What is up with it?
What do you mean getting bumped down?
Well, it's not the you don't see the new episode.
Oh. We're doing well on Spotify.
What's happening on Spotify?
We're 42nd on Spotify.
Oh,
congratulations, everybody!
Hey, they should sign us exclusively for $100 million.
Not only that, we're 57th in Spotify Canada, and we have just appeared on the charts in Spotify Malta.
Congratulations, everybody.
Do we have like a bunch of listeners go on vacation to Malta or
something?
I have
no idea what that is. We're 166 in the comedy charts, but the 5:30 a.m. ranking will probably be about what it was yesterday. I don't know.
Bad news. We've fallen out of the Spotify Cyprus chart and the Spotify Paraguay charts.
We've also fallen out of the...
Apparently, we have appeared there before.
We've fallen out of the Spotify or the Apple Podcast Canada Comedy, which we usually are in the top 250 in Canada.
Canada? What the fuck?
So we'll see. Tomorrow will be
you, Canada.
Okay.
Hey, I know birthdays are not allowed, but it's Will Forte's birthday.
Oh.
And since he's a beloved sort of, sidebar to the show, his name is...
Should we call him?
Orville.
Yeah.
Did you realize
you want me to change? Fuck you!
We do not have his phone number.
Yeah, we do. We've called him before.
Okay, call him.
Brandon, we pull it up. There's also another number we need to try. I don't know if you heard me talking about the guy who got fired for cracking his knuckles outside the car, and he did this, and someone took a picture.
You do it on purpose?
No.
He's cracking his knuckles.
They fired him for the upside down okay sign.
Yeah.
Who fired him?
San Diego's DTE, Gas and Electric Company.
Should we call it? Why don't we call their DTE? Is that the number you have?
No, or I have his number. He's been making comment because he's just destroyed.
Okay, let's call him. What kind of job did he have?
I don't have Forte's number.
I got to tell you, you know.
Okay, let me look for it.
I was watching.
There's another number Bentley sent, which he is 100% convinced it's somebody.
The fight's on. That's right. I was watching John Oliver 2 weeks ago, and at the end he had this girl who's on this incredible rant about how angry she is about George Floyd. And at the end she says, she looks at the camera and says, "You're lucky that we don't want revenge." And right. I'm going.
That was a very viral clip there, yeah.
Yeah, and but I'm kind of thinking, well, this is revenge, though, isn't it? Isn't burning buildings and stuff, isn't that revenge? And looting, isn't that revenge?
Well, I think her point was the reason why we're burning down the buildings is because we don't own them. And all these buildings are.
Yeah, but black people own some of the. No, those were not all white owned businesses. In fact, in Minnesota, there was a whole section of black owned businesses that were burned down.
I know, but that seemed to be her. That was her justification for burning it down. Was
she's in Akron, isn't she?
I don't know where she is.
She was talking about the Football Hall of Fame.
But I
have, yes, Brandon.
That's right. Oh, okay.
That's right. Yeah.
I have to tell you, I see a lot of revenge. And like this guy making the okay sign upside down, I don't believe that human resources went through his thing and said, oh, I'm sure someone probably
doxed him. No, they took a picture of it and it went viral. And the problem is he's driving that truck. So okay. They know that he works for him.
So he's cracking his knuckles and they want him fired.
Yeah.
I mean, they really think that he. That's not fair. That's vengeful, isn't it?
Well, I mean, I don't know if they the story doesn't say if they demand. There's the picture. They didn't say if they demanded him being fired. They just fired.
I just see a lot of vengeance, and it's not just all black people. For example, today there's so many things in the media that are driving me fucking crazy, and I'll just mention this one. Well, I won't just mention this one, but I'll mention this one. The woman that we're on the lookout for. Because she drove through a crowd of protesters in Taylor. Okay, they led the news with this last night at 11 o'clock. She's a white-haired lady. She's, I don't know, she's got to be old. I mean, I'm assuming she's probably in her 70s. And she drives up to an intersection where people are, I don't know what they're doing. Are they crossing the street? They're blocking. They were previously doing an 8-minute and 46-second knee for George Floyd. Well, the Taylor police didn't know about this. And this lady didn't know about this. All she knew was that she was driving through an intersection, as you do when you have a green light. By the way, I don't think, is Taylor a place where you're really expecting to be blocked by protest traffic? I don't know.
And you're driving along, la la la, woo.
maybe not. I don't think so. Anyway, so there's, you know, it's confusing. Especially to, you know, a milkshake like her, I assume.
You should have watched that Inside Edition story about how to deal with the protesters when you're in your car.
I don't think there's an easy way. I think the best way to deal with that kind of situation is to go put your car in reverse and turn around. Because what she does is she drives up to the people blocking the street, including a guy just standing there with his bicycle, and he won't get out of the way.
Yeah.
Now, this is the guy they put on the news as the victim.
That cycle paid the price.
And my feeling was,
hey, move your ass!
Why didn't Channel 4 ask him, why didn't you get out of the way? That's an intersection. There's traffic coming through. How was she supposed to know what you are and who you are? Because as she inches up, did anybody else see this besides me?
I saw it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you see it, Brandon?
I did.
Okay. As she inches up on the crowd, they all start screaming at her.
Yeah, and they grab the car, they grab the window.
She inches up a little more, they're grabbing the window. It's like a mob has descended on her car, and I think what happened was she flipped out. In fact, I would bet my life on it. She drives over the guy's bicycle who clears out of the way, and supposedly someone on the side of the car was hit too. But I think she, and I heard she turned herself in. Do we know what she said when she turned herself? Can we watch, maybe check the 5 o'clock news?
She said, I'm an old lady.
Well, she did turn herself in, didn't she?
Yeah, well, they knew she was because it's for her license plate.
What did she say?
I'm an old lady. I don't know.
Well, I'm serious. I mean, they really made it sound... Okay, she's driving a white Impala, too, which I thought was, like, perfect branding for her age. I don't know why I thought that, but...
I thought that, too. I was looking to see what kind of car it was for some weird reason.
They did open up. Did you know there's a shooting in West Bloomfield?
Yeah, I did.
Wild.
I did. I've blown off so much stuff today because I just didn't want to get into it. I'm just so exhausted by it, and people just get so upset. And it is upsetting. All of it's upsetting. But I'll tell you, first of all, the fact that this story led the 11 o'clock news blew my mind. The fact that they didn't even suggest that she might be scared or that this group was not very nice at the Senate on her, because they weren't. They just crowd around the car like, you know, we're going to get you. And I don't know. It just looks to me like, and I've seen a few people go through the same thing. And the one car that they featured on TMZ, which did not run anyone over. That car, they're kicking the side of the car and like, fuck you, messing with our protest. And I don't know what the car was doing there. I mean, I don't. They had a car previously that was literally driving really fast and was clearly trying to fuck with the protesters. This old lady, I don't think she was. And I would say this, too, that...
I don't see it on here. Maybe they didn't like that she was honking her horn as she came up to
the light. Well, she's got a green light at an intersection. She doesn't know it's a BLM group that just did an 8-minute and 46-second knee. I don't know. I mean, I don't hear anybody talking, so I'm assuming that she did do something wrong. I don't know what she should do.
I was just wondering if anybody was wearing a mask is what I was thinking about.
I didn't even notice.
The old lady, had she not been wearing a mask, maybe was afraid that she would in some way be exposed. She might have that fear on top of the other fear.
I think she was afraid of the group. And I'm not saying that because black people surrounded her. They were all white people.
Yeah,
they were.
Including the bicyclist.
Yeah, it was a 75-year-old guy. Why wouldn't he get out of the way? Why were they blocking her intention? That's what I don't understand.
I think, judging from the video, it looked like they got mad that she honked the horn, which is childish, too.
But she has the right of way in a green light. She doesn't know it's a protest. The Taylor police didn't know it was a protest.
I know.
What kind of bike do you have?
I came across one of those the other day.
Remember? Try 6 o'clock, maybe 6 o'clock? And the whole news judgment of what is news and what isn't news these days is just mind-boggling to me. Yesterday on South Dixie Highway, an officer shot a man with a knife, and... all day I'm going, oh, my God, this is a huge story. A policeman killed a man with a knife. Now, the guy's advancing on him, but he shoots him and kills him. And I thought, well, that's got to be a big story. It wasn't a big story. I watched 11 o'clock last night, and Channel 7 and Channel 4 didn't do the story. I think they did it earlier, but they didn't even do it. Channel 4 led with the Taylor lady, and Channel 2 got to this story at about 20 after 10, I believe. And it's a cop killing someone on videotape. And I'm like, what am I missing here? And I think, honestly, my guess is that the subject was white. So it wasn't it wasn't going to be a racial thing. And he was advancing on the cop. So it's like, that's not a clicker. Because I don't understand why that wouldn't be a big story. In today's climate and what's going on, it seems like it's newsworthy, if nothing else.
Say they did do the story because when we watched it from their website, Channel 7's website.
Yeah, but they didn't at 11 o'clock last night to lead with the Taylor lady who, you know, got stopped by a protest and drove too fast through it. That's the lead story. Actually, that was the lead story on Channel 4. The lead story on the other stations were the police chief from Shelby Township.
Oh, that guy.
And that story is so fascinating to me. He called... Okay, I don't know if you guys remember this story. There's a couple that were trying to protect a store. And they had just broken into a jewelry store next door. And then they were coming for their store. And they're trying to protect the store, and somebody starts whacking his wife with a 2x4.
Yeah, that's the one that got that crazy radio show blown out.
Aha!
Oh.
So the police chief from Shelby Township tweeted out under a fake account, which I thought was like, oh, I see. So he can't be himself. He tweeted out that the looters were animals and they were acting like wild savages, and that they should have body bags for these subhumans. And then he said something like, "Try to pull me out of my car." So apparently his comments were offensive to rioters who beat up people trying to protect their store. His comments were offensive to the people breaking into the stores. They're the ones he called animals. Right?
Yes, but in the climate, you're not allowed to use those terms when describing people of, you know.
People. So in other words, we have political correctness for people breaking into businesses, beating a woman with a 2x4?
Yes, we do.
What's the offense? What is the truly offensive word there? Barbarians?
Savages. Yeah, animals. Stuff like that.
I would guess animals.
That's what people are upset about.
And they're upset on behalf of the people. Like, they're upset on behalf of the people breaking into the store. Are the people breaking into the store, are they complaining, or are people complaining on their behalf?
Drew, if he would have used the word thugs, it would have been the same thing. It would have been the
Obama
same thing.
Obama called people thugs.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And
animals. What animals? I mean, you can call anyone an animal.
My question is, how did they figure
why,
out?
I'm sorry.
That
what,
his,
explain to me how animals right. is racist.
Well, I'm not the one who decides these things. All I know is when you call somebody a savage and an animal.
Trina got in trouble with that, too.
Who did?
I mean,
Trina, the rapper, remember? She called them animals.
Who'd she call an animal?
The riots in Miami.
Rioters.
We talked about
So rioters have politically correct... We have to call rioters by politically correct
names, They're
allowed
due process.
They beat a woman with a 2x4.
You got to prove it.
So there's only certain things we can call people that beat a woman with a 2x4. Right?
Maybe it was self-defense.
No, it wasn't self-defense. I'm being serious. I'm absolutely serious. These people did not complain. People are complaining on their behalf because they feel that these people have been maligned who are breaking into stores and beating on with a 2x4. I find that incredible. Oh, my God. How could you call those people a name? That name's over the top. You should have called them. What should he have called them?
Rioters? I don't know.
Dicks? These people are being dicks.
Would he have been okay?
Is that the issue, or is it because he's a chief of police and he wanted to unleash the real cops and let them take care of the barbarians?
And that's also a factor, especially because I don't know what the real cops are.
What is he talking about?
Yeah, because he said Trump threatened to deploy the military. I have a better idea. Unleash the real cops and let them take care of these barbarians.
What does that mean? Hold on, time out. What does unleash the real cops mean?
That means let the police handle it. Not the military. The police officers.
Okay, so unleash the real cops. Why is that worthy of his job?
Because this is mid-protest against police brutality. This is people who are looking to cancel
anything
right now.
I thought these people weren't
even
protesters. I thought these people were Antifa and non-protesters that are breaking into jewelry stores and beating women with a 2x4.
Yeah, but I'm guessing it's because he's a police chief.
And there's other comments. There's comments where he's throwing out, he's calling people libtards. And so, I mean, when they connect their police chief with someone who's throwing out, political slights, then that gets escalated as well.
Well, the interesting thing is, did they decide, 30-day suspension, I think?
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, it's amazing to me. He's using a fake Twitter account. So somebody apparently went into Twitter and somehow figured out it was this guy.
I gotta say,
that's
though,
what I want to know. How did they figure it out?
Does that maybe show that even he knew maybe he shouldn't be saying these things?
No, I think my opinion is that he feels he can't say what he really means when he's under his real name, but if he's using another account, he feels he can actually address this. Because honestly, we are talking about offending, I believe in from what I saw and what they featured on the news, we're talking about offending the people who were breaking into a jewelry store and their store and beating her with a 2x4. Those are the people that he called a name that is, I guess, unconscionable. And there were a lot of comments. They had a lot of people speaking. It took 3 hours to get through the meeting, which is incredible to me, but it did. And apparently there were a lot of comments that were extremely negative, but as the reporter pointed out, most of them were for people not in Shelby Township. I assume these are out-of-state people or people that know about the story. So anyway, it was a pretty there were a lot of people standing up for him, too. More people were criticizing him, but then, you know, when you're dealing with comments, you don't know where they're coming from. But the comments were very negative, so they suspended him for 30 days. So that story, I mean, I'm scratching my head through the line going, are we talking about, are these terms, is animals, is that a racist term? Is it, what is that? I mean, well,
In reading the two people that voted, you know, against the suspension, because I think they wanted more, the one guy says that he feels that clearly cannot be trusted to enforce the law impartially as much as he may try. So I think it's the whole issue.
Because he doesn't like people wielding 2x4s?
Let the cops get in there and be judge and jury.
Yeah.
Did he say be judge and jury?
No, but I'm saying that's what he's reading.
Why couldn't, perhaps, I mean, this might sound outrageous, but is it not possible that he fucked up and he says, I'm sorry, I wish I had not said it that way?
Yeah, and that's why he's getting and then a 30-day suspension. That's why he's getting
a 30-day suspension is pretty serious. And I don't think it's – they haven't decided if he's fired or not. I think they're going to decide that.
I thought that's what they voted on last night.
Yeah, yeah. I thought he gets – he's 30-day suspension, but he keeps his job.
Are you sure he keeps his job? Is that final?
That's how I read it.
Okay.
30-day unpaid suspension.
Is that from today or last night?
I mean, why else would they make him go through training? That was last night what they said.
Yes, he's going through training. What's his training?
Cultural awareness training.
Okay.
Well, doesn't a leader –
learning properly address rioters?
I'm not sure that it's just specific to the rioters, though. I think it is they feel like he has that attitude from previous interaction.
Okay, I'm not aware of anything outside of what he did regarding this Bobby S. Twitter account. I don't know what else he said. I didn't realize there were other tweets.
And well, he probably, should know better than that, too. I mean, why wouldn't he?
Well, he's mad. Yeah. He said he was emotional and he got the best of him and he said things he shouldn't have said, but
is that the kind of demeanor you want, police chief?
Can I say this? Do you think he really feels bad about what he said about the people rioting and beating a woman with a 2x4?
No,
I don't.
Absolutely not.
And it doesn't bother me what he said either, unless these terms are something that I'm not aware of.
Well, I wonder, is it just more than one thing that he said? Because they don't even reference that. They just reference the one about having the police take action against the protesters.
Is that in the same tweet?
It's the one I'm reading. I don't know what the...
Well, read the tweet.
I did. That's the one I read earlier.
About letting the real cops take care of it?
Trump threatening to deploy the military. I have a better idea. Unleash the real cops and let them take care of these barbarians. I promise it would be over in 24 hours. Cops are crippled by politicians and the media.
I would agree.
That was just one tweet.
I do think cops are crippled right now. I mean, I don't know how cops can be cops. I feel sorry for cops. Not the bad cops. I mean, there's some real shitbags out there, but generally speaking, I don't know how anyone can stand to be a cop right now. And then, so anyway, that was the lead story. And the lady from Taylor was the lead story on another channel. And the shooting was way buried down in the news. Almost every story was a different story about race. They had the story about Priscilla Slater, who died in jail in Harper Woods while in custody. Six people are suspended. Channel 4 had an eyewitness on whose identity was protected, and I guess he fears retribution because he said that Priscilla Slater was injured by the man who fired 19 shots at the
hotel.
At the hotel. He said that he threw her on the ground and that she had trouble getting up. And that the police were by the book, and they didn't do anything to Priscilla Slater. She died in the jail shortly after that. And there's a whole nother thing about that, where people are protesting the Harper Woods police for allowing this woman to die in jail. And the wife of the mayor went over there, and someone had a sign. She was going over. She said to support the family, and I took her at her word because I don't really know what happened, except that she got in there, and there were protesters, and someone had a sign about the police that she didn't like, and supposedly she was about to tear it up, and someone ripped it out of her hands, and she apologized yesterday. I don't know if you guys saw that story.
I saw it.
Yeah. Did you guys see it?
No, I didn't.
You didn't see that story?
She was very mad at that sign.
She was. Well, I'm not sure she got to tear it up. They said she tore it up,
no,
but I saw
but
someone.
Another guy come in who was also filming the whole thing.
I saw someone else come in and rip it out of her hands.
Yeah.
So it was not a good day for the mayor's wife. And then she apologized. She seemed sincere. I don't know. I mean, maybe she's just a horrific racist, but I thought she was sincere. And I don't know why this woman died either, but they've suspended six people. I mean, honestly, it's like it's just open season. I mean, what a time to be a cop. Holy shit. And, you know, I don't. It sounds like some police are quitting, but I don't think it's the numbers are gigantic.
It's like seven or eight, depending on the like
Minneapolis has quite a few people have
Atlanta
quit.
Too. Yeah,
yeah. I wonder if we'll see more of that, but and I don't know what the answer is. I really don't. You know, I was talking about shooting people in the leg, and here come the old emails from 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
You can't shoot someone in the leg; it's a small target. Well,
I mean, I understand that.
The guy with the rake, I mean, that was like a 20-minute standoff. Yeah, you could have shot him in the leg.
You know, it's interesting with the whole...
Why can't you shoot tires out of cars?
I know. I see it in movies all the time.
I mean, it seems like such an obvious thing to do. I guess they're afraid you're going to hit someone else. I don't know.
It's really interesting.
I would never... Apparently, it's so easy to be a cop that I've just been missing the boat.
It's really interesting reading about Garrett Rolfe in Atlanta, who killed Rashard Brooks, and the charges, you know, the murder charges.
11 counts of murder today.
Really surprised by that. But the one thing that jumped out, which I guess I never thought about it, you know, some people are like, he's firing a taser at him. That, you know, that's killed eight people in a year.
I said that the other day.
The DA pointed out, he goes, that cop should have known once it was fired twice, he can't fire anymore. Which I'm like, oh, that's interesting.
Did he
at that
fire?
Point he was no longer a risk.
He had fired he should have known that the taser. That's just what the DA is right. saying that the taser had been fired twice and wouldn't fire again.
Mm-hmm.
And
did he did
he
the cop
12
fire?
Feet away.
Did he fire both times? The cop himself?
I don't know.
No, the cop
was
fired
it his
it once?
Taser? I mean, what is was it the other guy's taser or his taser?
I don't know. I didn't hear him talk about that.
It was the cop's taser. The cop fired it once in the scuffle when he started to put the cuffs on Mr.
Rashard
Harris.
Brooks.
Mr. Brooks.
Right. Oh, Mr. Brooks, right. Rashard. And then he Brooks grabbed the taser and ran and fired it backward. At that point the taser had been fired twice,
oh, okay.
which means it would be inert.
Well, I mean but does a brain said. does a human brain necessarily absorb all these simple statistics, which I mean because I hear people saying, oh, he fired four times, he's got two shots. I mean, does everyone always know these things in the very moment?
Yes, in the movies, yes, they do, always. They always know how many shots have been fired.
Clint Eastwood knew it in Dirty Harry.
Well, apparently the DA felt he should have.
Well, yeah, the DA can feel that way, but when...
Well, he also has a prior incident as well that came out.
Yeah.
So.
Well,
shooting another guy in the back.
Well, how can you shoot a guy in the back? Do we have this story about him shooting a guy in the back?
Trudy,
yeah,
Trudy
we do. New York Daily News. He covered up a previous encounter with a guy back in 2015. The guy actually was bringing deadly force because he stole one of their vehicles and then he rammed the police car. But at that point, the cop shot him, I guess, in the back and then didn't put it in his report. And
wait a
the
second.
Judge
whoa,
came back
out.
At him and
how
said,
do you, "How do you shoot someone in the back and no one knows? That's incredible.
Yeah.
No
well,
one
I know.
Knew he
well,
shot him in the back. So who do they think shot him?
Oh, they you know they think he ended up at the hospital, and so they're like, hey, this guy didn't merely get injured like your report said. He has you know bullets in his back, and he has a collapsed lung from those bullets. And so the judge
why did he shoot him
came
in the
back.
Back.
Pardon?
Why did he shoot him?
He shot him because he was.
Why did he say he shot him?
Yeah, he eluded and they gave chase and he rammed the cop car. And then he got out and ran. And then when he ran, they shot him in the back. And then they didn't put that in their report. They tried to keep it out of their report, and the judge found that.
I don't understand.
There was no plausible reason to omit that.
Why would he still be a cop if he shot a guy in the back?
Well, isn't that part of what the protests are about?
That's a little... I mean, in Atlanta, you're talking about... Again, you have an LGBT police chief. You have a 58% black police force. You have a black mayor. You have... I mean, that's not a city that's considered one of the worst by a long shot. How could you shoot a guy in the back? And I mean, I just wondering if he had a fake defense.
Pretty strong
or,
union. It wasn't just him that covered it up. None of the three officers mentioned that the guy was shot in the back.
Yeah, right.
And they're all still working for the Atlanta Police Department?
They didn't name the other two that I saw in that story.
He is, though, yeah.
Yeah. Which answers why he was fired so quick. Because that just surprised me that he was fired.
Why is he still a cop, though? I mean, that's pretty unconscionable.
That's part of the reason people are protesting now, because these bad cops that people talk about, you know, the very tiny amount are still...
But those aren't all the cops. Those are not all the cops.
No, they're not.
I didn't say they were. I said it's a very small amount, but they're still being employed.
But
because there's a code that you don't go against them.
But if they knew one of the cops shot a man in the back who had no business being shot at all, I mean, that's pretty incredible.
You're right. And he was still an officer. And therein lies one of the problems.
Well, today he was charged with 11 counts of murder. And in fact, he faces the death penalty, life in prison or life without parole. And the guy asked for no bail.
Oh, the DA?
The DA did.
That's fairly common, though.
And, I mean, they're suggesting it's murder. Murder, murder, murder. Not just cop murder, but murder.
Well, a big part of it, too, is the partner is kind of helping and turned witness to it. The other partner, his partner that was with him.
And the aftermath, well, the when partner, he, you know, I mean, he...
The partner faced 1 to 20 years in jail for standing on him.
Mm-hmm.
So he has a little incentive. That doesn't mean he doesn't agree with what they're saying, but I'm just saying, I thought that whole thing was strange today. And I watched afterwards because they had Chief Craig on and they had a judge on after Chief Craig. Did you watch any of that?
No. Mm-hmm.
Chief Craig, by the way, I like him personally.
I
don't know.
I
really don't know how good a police chief he is. It seems like the Detroit police are doing a pretty good job.
Yeah, but, after the feds took over, it got better. But, yeah, they do seem to be doing well.
But he wasn't there.
No, I know.
The federal.
I like him.
Anyway, he was on there, and he made a few interesting points. And, you know, he's in a terrible position as a police chief to even talk about it. But he felt that saying, because he watched the whole thing, to say that a taser is not deadly force, a taser has 50,000 volts. Tasers don't normally kill people, but it happens. It does happen. And they were talking about things like how you're only allowed to shoot a taser a certain distance, and he was this many feet away from the guy, which was not, you know, I don't know how good people are at measuring the distance. And that he was a little surprised he was fired so quickly, well, among other things.
Now we seem to know why.
Yeah, I don't know much about the other case. I know he has 17 different complaints.
I thought it was 12 and 3 were credible.
Well, I mean, how do you say, who decides that 3 complaints out of 12 are credible? And by the way, a complaint
Internal
is a complaint
affairs?
Is a complaint. It's either not a complaint or it's either dismissed as a complaint.
Well, we get complaints, some which we take serious and some which we don't. I mean, complaints are complaints.
Chief Craig also said... he didn't know anything about the cop kicking Rayshard Brooks either. And he had watched the video. And honestly, I didn't realize he kicked him.
I didn't either.
In fact, that was what they said. The crowd at the courthouse reacted the most. They reacted very strongly, of course, in the beginning, all these felonies and all these murder charges. But the crowd reacted the most strongly to him saying that he was charging with kicking the victim.
Yeah.
And saying, I got him.
You know, I thought that was a kind of a, I don't understand that. I understand what an excited utterance is, but if you think someone is a threat to you, if you really thought that, and you're chasing someone and you're trying to catch them, I don't see why that is, I don't know what that means. I don't know how you can say what that means.
The bigger picture, I think, that it draws is maybe what everybody reacted to, don't you think? I mean, all those things combined. Yeah. Plus the fact that his partner earlier in that arrest was going to let the dude sleep it off.
Yeah.
You guys heard that in the transcript, right? He's do you want to sleep? And he started to say, sleep it off. And then the other officer arrived.
Well, he called for the other officer. That was the other thing I thought was weird. It's like the first cop was apparently not experienced with DUI. So he calls the cop there, the one who was charged with murder.
Yeah.
It's like, thanks for calling. And this guy, was said something like, oh, God, I don't know if I want to deal this with this. But he went, and this is when I start to go a little nuts, is when people talk about how cordial it was. And Chief Craig actually referenced this, too. He said that was not cordial. He said the minute he went to cuff him, the guy beat up two police officers. He said, that's not cordial. That's different. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, and for some reason, people are so dismissive of it. And it doesn't mean anything as far as you can shoot him, you know, regardless of whether he has a taser left in the taser or, you know, whatever the circumstances may be.
And if you don't like the fact of how it went down and he got shot, doesn't mean that you're forgiving the crime that Rashad committed.
Well,
Or how he acted or how he, you know, attacked the police.
The DA today. So well, but no, it's being dismissed, though. It's completely dismissed. No one talks about it.
I don't think so. I think there's zero.
People say, I was shot for falling asleep at Wendy's.
I think there's zero excuse. But then I don't think he deserved to be murdered for it or shot.
No, I don't think he deserved to be shot either.
Especially in the back. And the whole situation sucks. And if he would have gotten away, that would have sucked, too.
I have to tell you, watching the guy on Dixie Highway, and again, I cannot believe this isn't a story. Why is this not a big story? He had a knife, but the cop, I don't see why you have to shoot people. If you're saying that all these other shootings are bad, and the goal is not to let the guy die, I don't know why you have to shoot that guy in the heart.
Which guy?
The guy in the road with a knife.
Well, he's coming at him.
I know it's different.
I mean, that one's where you really want to stop the threat. He's coming right at him.
But Drew, yesterday you said I was going to say something yesterday. Yesterday you'd mentioned that why doesn't the cop run away? When someone calls the police.
I was not really serious about that, Brandon, but
I know,
I'm just telling you.
But the boner line took you very seriously because I got about a dozen calls about it.
No, I laughed. When I first thought about that, I was like, well, how could you not kill this guy? If the goal is not to kill the person, where do you draw the line? Because honestly, that is a good kill as far as that goes. But it's like, you don't have to shoot that guy in the heart. You don't have to kill him.
Why wouldn't you taser him?
How do you know he's... People were asking that too.
I mean, I have no training. I'm not a cop. But if that guy came at me and I had a gun, I'd fire everything I could right at his face and his
chest. Would you fire if a homeless guy was coming at you?
Depends what he looked like.
Well, the guy in Greek Town.
Yeah, why not?
A lot of
people didn't think he should be shot.
Didn't realize that.
It depends the manner of which he's coming. And I'm not a cop.
You know, I don't want people to
That guy didn't die, by the way.
Oh, he didn't die?
No, he's 18. He was taken to a hospital in Toledo and is listed at critical. That's the last thing I see. I don't know if it's been updated since then.
Well, it just seems so strange to me that a story about a policeman shooting someone, even legally... well, not legally, but I mean, it was more understandable.
Yeah.
But George Floyd, Rashard Brooks.
That right there is the problem. Nobody will look at each incident individually. Just like with everything, it's like, well, what about this? Well, what about that? Well, what about this case? What about that case? Whatever the story is.
Oh, no, I had all these people about, you know, shoot him in the arm, he's a small target. And like, I'm just saying, if the idea is that, if the goal is, and this question him too, do you really believe that cops should take more chances with their own lives? And I said, not really. But I think that's what the will of the people is right now, that we would rather have a police officer occasionally take a chance that he might be hurt than just eliminate the threat the way we eliminate the threat. Because you are not going to have perfect police. You will never have perfect police.
Sorry, Jews. He knows about knives.
If the idea is not to use force on people, then you're going to have that is an advantage criminal. It is. Mm. I mean, is that disputable?
I'm not saying I want
police to take chances with their lives. I'm just saying that when you take away when that gray area is less gray and it's moved away from the cop as far as their immunity.
I mean, I don't know the numbers, but what's more common? Someone, you know, get shot that probably shouldn't have because they didn't have a weapon or they were in the back.
Well, there were 28
officer getting hurt. I don't know. I don't know the numbers.
28 unarmed people were I'm sorry. 34 unarmed people were killed in 2019, I believe. 9 were black, 19 were white, and I think there's a couple Hispanics.
And I feel like we've seen every single one.
I haven't seen the white ones. Honestly, I'm not even sure what those cases are. They were showing a guy who said he couldn't breathe today at Northland Mall, which was 6 years ago, which now they want charges on. And I remember that case well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And you know what? It's incredible. it's again the if you can talk, you can breathe. Which I should apologize to my brother because my brother used to say, I can't breathe. And I would go, If you talk, you can breathe. I swear to God. I've seen people say that a million times. And God knows if you can if you're breathing, if you're talking, are you breathing? I apparently not. But it's funny how often that, I mean, it's not funny, but it's coming. That very term is coming up a lot. So anyway, I knew this guy had a lot of complaints. I didn't know he'd shot a guy, in the back who was not a threat to him. And I can't believe, I don't know how you end up back on the street if you shoot people in the back. But, can they bring that up in the case? I wonder if they can.
Well, absolutely.
It's got to be admissible.
Yeah.
Will they bring up Rayshard Brooks and his background? Because Rayshard Brooks, the defense is going to use anything they can. And this judge they had on after Chief Craig said, I think this is a really tough case.
Yeah.
And he thought
there's another sheriff in Georgia that said, I don't think he should be charged. Black sheriff that said he didn't think he should be charged.
He said the judge said he thought he's overcharged. He thought it was because of the circumstances, the current circumstances, and that maybe they're just looking for a deal because they overcharge.
Yeah, probably.
They then knock off, nine of them, and they give the guy 20 years or something like that. But he said when that judge instructs that jury, he's going to say, and he said, and this is true if the guy has a rubber band and he's threatening to flick at the cop, you have to judge in that police officer's mind, did he see that guy as a threat? And also, he said, as far as the taser, he's like, the taser is not going to be dismissed. He said, the taser, you'll have experts testifying for the government saying that the taser's harmless. And then you'll have experts testifying for the defense who will tell you how many deaths have resulted from tasers, that they have 50,000 volts, and that they will stop an elephant. So
make them turn them down then.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the taser is supposed
middle ground tasers.
The taser is supposed to replace the gun. By the way, was Rayshard Brooks hit with a taser?
Yeah, I thought
and
they did.
He fucking gets up and takes off like that. I mean, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, well, we've seen that before. People that are immune to tasers.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And Rayshard Brooks, by the way, I hate how it seems like in so many of these cases, people want to make it worse than it is. I mean, it's bad enough when a guy ends up dead, a drunk driving case ends up dead, or, if you want to say it, a guy falling asleep at Wendy's ends up dead. But he is, first of all, he was going to go to his 8-year-old's birthday party. I mean, that was the story. I've read it a million times.
I thought he was at there.
Well, I think they had another party the next day, though.
Oh, okay.
So, they went bowling that afternoon, blah, blah, blah. Well, he went served 7 years for kidnapping, for cruelty to children, felony cruelty to children. I mean, it's a horrible.
Not a good guy.
If he was charged with that DUI, he was going back to prison. So, how can you measure his, you did know that or you didn't know that?
He probably knew that inside.
Yeah,
so he was desperate. Whether that means you can use lethal force, you don't know all those things.
Yeah,
but I mean, when a guy beats up two cops like that, I mean, it smacks of desperation.
It probably won't be for another year or so before we start seeing into the trials with these police officers. But if they find them not guilty, are we just going to expect some more havoc?
Absolutely, absolutely. Honestly, I hope they make a deal. I do hope they make a deal because that'll spare everybody. And I don't trust the justice system. I don't trust it. Let's just say that we knew nothing about Officer Roth. We just knew nothing about him because he sounds like a bad guy. And I had no idea he had shot someone in the back. And I don't know. I still don't understand. Even if he says he didn't or they didn't report that he shot him in the back, how does a guy shot in the back just... I mean, don't they have to explain how he's shot in the back? Is it really that corrupt?
They just said weapons were discharged. They didn't say that they hit anybody. The three officers.
But what happens when the guy's in the hospital shot in the back?
It's crazy. I don't know.
Since when?
Why did the police report of Breonna Taylor say that there were no injuries?
Well, you know, I have no idea.
Doesn't that make sense why some people are very angry and protesting when they see stuff like that?
Well, those are two cases. I mean, I'm not trying to make excuses for anyone, but I have no idea why, how you could even say there were no injuries. If someone's dead, how do you say there's no injuries? I mean, and no injuries. That's okay. So everybody forget it.
Trudy said he didn't die.
He wasn't dead. None of the police put it in the report that they shot him, but they did send him to Grady Memorial Hospital with collapsed lungs, and the report didn't mention it. And then it came out later in the trial. The guy didn't die, but he did have collapsed lungs. I mean, he could have very easily died.
No, but I mean, so everyone just pretends that it wasn't a bullet that collapsed his lung? I don't know. That's what I'm confused about.
Well, I mean, maybe they didn't know, like they didn't.
They didn't think anybody would.
How do you put in a report that no one is injured when you shot someone? That seems like a little bit of a problem.
He was injured. He did not say that he was shot. Yeah. I mean, it's quite specific.
And no one, when a person is shot, no one bothers to check into it and see what happened. Because I thought they would just put them on desk duty for a week or whatever, or a couple of weeks while they investigated. But apparently when you say no one is shot or no one was shot in the back, then no one looks at it and bothers, and it just, everybody goes on. I mean, baffled.
It's unclear if any action was taken. The Atlanta Police Department did not respond to requests for comment. So it's left there. Probably there's more detail.
I mean, I guess you would have to cross-reference the guy's hospital records with the police report.
Well, can someone explain to me how you shoot a guy in the back and no one knows about it? I mean, that's beyond incredible.
Well, they did find out about it.
But yeah, I mean, when no one in internal affairs says, hey, you shot a guy in the back and we didn't even know. What the fuck? I mean, that just seems, that's like they so didn't. Beyond sloppy. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, no shit.
I mean, no wonder I guess maybe that's why the police chief resigned.
I would guess that's a big part of it. Because he was fired.
Any police shooting, I mean, this is what Chief Craig was talking about today. Any police shooting, you know, you go on desk duty, whatever. I mean, I just could not imagine that you could literally say and just throw the race of the victim out, that there wasn't a shooting and no one would ever find out. I mean, that seems beyond belief to me. Until the trial? Yeah. And it goes, oh, by the way, I was shot. Oh, fuck, it's not on the report. We didn't even know. Yeah. It's crazy.
Serious issue, Shala thought about that. And I'm sorry in advance. The guy's name was Jackie Germain. He is two of the Jackson brothers.
His middle name's Tito. Jackie Tito Germain.
Well, his name is Jackie Germain Harris. So he is like two of the three. His
parents are big Jackson 5 fans. That's the only explanation, man.
I hope this doesn't go to trial. That's all I can say.
Yeah. What time is it? Do you want to call Will Forte?
Yeah, sure. Dial him up. Why not?
What if he wants to talk for 2 hours?
He will.
What?
Don't worry about that. He's not going to answer the phone.
I bet
he has a new number.
Why are you guys so negative?
I have to ask a question. So after the show. So hurry up.
Is this the number we called in 2015?
In 2015?
Well, we called him at 105.1. Remember we talked?
Yeah,
to him?
But that was actually set up. That was a.
Well, we've called him since. Yeah.
So.
Nice job! None of you!
We called him out of the blue?
When?
No, I'm asking you why we have his phone number.
Yeah, we have. Multiple times. He's never picked up.
He always answers. What? I've talked to him a lot.
Why are we wasting our time calling someone who's not going to answer when we have someone that will answer?
Who?
What about the guy that was fired for making the upside down okay sign?
Well, we don't know if he'll answer or not.
I thought you said he was talking to people.
I've never wanted.
Why does nothing make sense to me?
I don't know.
I honestly am starting to think that I'm. You know how people go, I could swear I'm seeing things. That's how I feel lately.
It's up for Will Forte, baby.
You should have known my schedule. You should have checked for rescheduling.
Answer. It's probably dinner out where he is. You're out for a big birthday dinner.
He's got a dinner like Mel.
It's on the phone.
Come on, Orville.
Hi. This number is using RoboKiller to screen their calls.
Oh,
Please say your name and the purpose of your call, and I'll try to connect you.
Oh. The Drew and Mike Show. We're calling for our interview.
Thanks.
I think it's going to work.
Just
right number.
Hello?
Go Black!
I just found out his first name is Orville. I didn't know that.
Thanks for listening to the podcast.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system. Three. Yeah.
Wish Orville a happy birthday.
Three. Nine. Three. Not available. At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, Will Forte. It's the Drew and Mike Show in Detroit. We've had you on a couple times. You had a great time. I don't know if you remember, but I think you
said it was your happy birthday. Just look at you.
I think it was your favorite interview. Anyway,
you should have known my schedule. You should have checked for rescheduling.
We wanted to call you on your birthday. Hopefully you'll call back this 248 number sometime between 4:30 and 7:30 East Coast time. You're not going to call back, though. Oh, well.
Nice whatever. Job, none of you.
We're big fans. We'll talk to you again, I'm sure.
Go Black!
I touch myself. I masturbate. I wipe my butt almost every day with these guys.
I have two numbers for him.
Oh. No.
What? As if.
What are you talking about?
Come on. In the meantime, though,
we
got to get to the bottom of this Pavel Datsyuk thing in the next couple days. Right now, it might be a little too early.
Pavel Datsyuk.
He's an anti-vaxxer.
Shoot him?
He's an anti-vaxxer.
I think he's gone cult.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
Ooh. Nice job!
Three.
None
Will
of you.
Forte cannot come to the phone right now.
Six. Four.
Wrong.
The mailbox is full and cannot accept any messages at this time.
Got so many birthday wishes.
Okay.
You should have known my schedule. You should have checked for rescheduling.
What in the world has happened to Pavel Datsyuk?
Well, if you read the Detroit Free Press.
And Brown House Prep.
So the headline is.
Actually, it was Bentley's Prep.
Sorry.
Is Detroit Red Wings great Pavel Datsyuk with rogue priest in a monastery takeover? So there's some rogue priest in Russia that looks like Rasputin or whatever. And he's hiding all of his, the people that he counsels spiritually. They're all holed up in this church or something like that. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is about the story.
It should be our lead story today.
Well, we need
people?
A little bit more information. For example,
how many
the
people?
opening paragraph of the Detroit Free Press is, hey, we're not saying the story is true. We're not saying that it's not true, but it's out there on social media, so we can't ignore it. That's the opening
that's
of the story.
Irresponsible.
That's
on the
ridiculous.
Free Press.
It's a very irresponsible. You
got to be kidding me.
Who's the writer?
No.
Is it Elric?
It is Elaine Sung. And so, I mean, the story itself is just a little bit wacky. This is a spiritual advisor to Pavel Datsyuk, the great Red Wing centerman that we had for all that many years. In fact, there was actually some rumblings about him wanting to come back and do a couple more years in his, 40s here in Detroit. I don't think that's going to happen. He's trying to sell that mansion with a turret.
Why is he hanging out with this guy?
No. Well, I want you two to kiss each other.
It's been his spiritual advisor for the last 10 years. And apparently what's going on somewhere in Russia is this Rasputin fella who has everybody, congregating in this monastery.
That's racist.
They have guards. They're not letting media in. They're not letting anybody in or out. So there's a lot of unknowns. So in the, next
the
coming
phony
days, we'll
Russia
probably,
hoax.
We'll probably figure out a little bit more of it, but it just sounds really crazy because it's very cultish. And
pretty soon, I bet they'll all be swinging together.
Good story, quite well told.
Well, I'll follow up. It's just one of those ones where you see it and
weird.
You kind of get freaked out. Yeah. And then so the other wild. Story that I quickly just wanted to get through, it's exclusively for Drew. Princess Diana, the movie's coming.
Oh, no.
You're welcome. Kristen Stewart is going to play Princess Di.
That's a good choice.
It's going to be.
Why is this story for me?
Because you're a huge Di fan. Goodbye, English Rose, one of your favorite songs.
Did you see the Markle news today?
No.
She's a shitty friend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I knew she was a shitty friend because her friend got busted for threatening that girl when she ragged on her for not supporting BLM.
Yeah,
and she said, I'm going to call your contacts and I'm going to put you out of business.
Yeah,
so that everybody dropped her the Megan's friend who did all her PR for her. She did a lot of shit for her. I think she was her BFF, wasn't she?
Yeah.
And Megan said, "I can't be associated with someone like that."
I thought she was very just upset about it, but she was still her friend. But apparently, no, she's using this as the excuse to cut her off.
Yeah. And no, she said she can't be associated with her. And I said, wow, that's... It seems to me when someone does something, this is how bad it's gotten, although it's Meghan Markle, so how much can we really draw from it? When a friend gets in trouble, usually go, wow, that's not the person I know. I feel so bad. I hope it's a misunderstanding. But it sounds like Meghan Markle's BFF would do something like that because she's Meghan Markle's BFF. So she's got to be full of shit, too. Right.
Yeah, she's mad, too, because she took advantage of their close relationship and the wedding to make a career out of their friendship. And I'm like, kind of sounds like what Meghan did with the royals.
Yeah. Well, they said that that Harry wanted to de-royalize before they got married. So it's like, well, then why the royal wedding?
Exactly. Did you see the...
She wanted that big, fat wedding, and she wanted to invite all these fancy, schmancy celebrity types, and then she wanted to dump out.
In statue removal news, California is getting rid of their Christopher Columbus statue in their... I think it's in their capital, but more importantly, UNLV. Did you see what happened with UNLV?
UNLV.
They removed the statue of the fictitious running rebel mascot that they have outside their arena.
Wait.
I mean, it's a character, but it represents, I guess.
Oh,
I don't know.
That's bad news for RoboCop. Hey, it takes you 15 to 38 years to make this stupid statue, and you're finally going to unveil it. And guess what? It's going to get torn down because it's a police officer. Sorry.
I had no idea. This is so stupid. I mean, I guess rebel would be the South, but I had no idea that running rebels was supposed to be something from the Confederate. They're out in Las Vegas. They weren't in the Civil War.
What? It's a Confederate thing?
You know what the running rebel looks like, what the character looks like. They've removed that statue.
Show me the picture.
You don't know what the UNLV running rebel looks like? He's got the big mustache. Only look at
I don't. I mean, not off the top of my head. I don't memorize mascots.
Really? Oops, I misspelled it. Hang on. You don't remember?
No. That looks like the Virginia Cavalier mascot.
Kind of.
Yeah, the Virginia Cavaliers, who have eliminated that from their logo, and they now have the two swords, but they said that the handle of the sword is based on the walls that they the walls, I think, that they have there, or the snakes that climb the walls there. And they said, but those walls were to hide the slaves. That's why Jefferson had those walls. So UVA cannot get it right. And the president said, I'm reading and learning as much as I can about this. She's not allowed. Remember, she quoted Jefferson, and she got a long letter from the students and the faculty saying, don't ever quote Thomas Jefferson again. Although George Floyd's lawyer quoted him.
But isn't that weird that they're removing a fictitious character? I mean, the running rebel, he's not a real person.
Hey, Popular Mechanics is now training you how to tear down statues without getting hurt.
It's kind of funny.
I hate to say this, but I'm beginning to think that there's going to be a boomerang effect on a lot of this stuff.
We're in overcorrection mode right now. Once you get to the running rebel statue being removed.
Well, the death penalty for the police officer in Atlanta, I mean, even though he's not going to, I don't think he's going to get the death penalty. Does anybody think that?
Nope.
But the fact that the guy said he faces life in prison, life without parole. Oh, wait, life in prison, life without parole. Life in prison is life, meaning that it's not really life because you can get parole?
Yeah.
Okay. Or the death penalty. And I'm thinking, okay, wait a second. I know a guy in Detroit killed two people, served 13 years, got out and killed four people. He killed them intentionally. They were family members. There's this guy who raped someone in 2006, got 10 years. Actually, no, it was rape without penetration
because you couldn't get a hard on.
Ah!
No matter how hard you tried.
But anyway, it was so vicious, apparently, that he got 10 years in prison. And there were a lot of, there were some other crimes before that. And he got out and he shot this couple. He killed the woman, shot the man in the head, and I think it was a robbery, wasn't it? Anyway, he's on house arrest in Ypsilanti because of the COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going, the justice system just blows my fucking mind. I mean, it seems like it's always too much or too little, and it never seems to, for a good example. Let's compare the Atlanta cop, who I know people have vilified, and he sounds like a horrible cop, and he sounds like a horrible person. 12 complaints, 17 complaints. He shot a person in the back, lied about it, got away with it, shot this guy who had the taser. But anyway, I don't think he meant to murder that guy. I think if the guy had accepted the cuffs, he would have gotten in the car, he would have gotten his DUI, and he would have gone back to prison. And
sure, I don't think any officer wakes up wanting to go kill somebody.
So Jeffrey Epstein, on the other hand, molests hundreds of 13-year-olds, 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds, and he serves most of it at his house and continues to molest. I mean, it's like, how do you explain the differences? A policeman in a scrap shoots someone he shouldn't have shot, and he could be in prison. He'd get the death penalty. Jeffrey Epstein molests hundreds of women and gets, you know, a year of molesting more women, girls. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just so frustrating.
Yeah. Because he made a deal because he has a lot of money and a lot of influence and a wrong end
of a movement. Right. And this cop is on the wrong end of a movement. And so, you know, people want his scalp. But anyway.
But he did shoot him in the back. I mean, you don't think. I'm surprised he got charged.
Oh, wait. The death penalty for a policeman who just fought a guy.
True, of course not. I'm surprised he even got charged.
I knew he'd get charged.
Watching the video, it just doesn't look right to me. But what do I know?
Well, when I saw the guy shooting him with the taser, I just, based on previous police shootings, and I said it yesterday, a lot of these things, I don't think this guy needed to die, and yet that was clearly a good shooting. And I don't mean to keep bringing up the guy with the rake. It's the one that always comes to my mind. There's about 20 others where you go,
you're starting to sound like Brandon with Cameo with the rake guy. No. You're hired by the right guy's family.
No, I feel like my mind was trained to accept that if anyone puts the officer in risk and they're put down, that it's not a big deal because officers don't take risks. We don't take any risk with an officer's life.
That's the way it should be, yeah. But now you got to redefine what.
Okay, but if a guy beats up two officers and is shooting a stun gun at him, sure. that falls in the old category.
Is it interesting that the other, that his partner didn't fire? Does that matter? I don't know.
Well, I don't know. Honestly, this is so difficult. I think all these cases were difficult. The George Floyd case was not difficult. That one is so absolutely beyond the pale. Yeah. But honestly, you'll find people, I'm sure you'll hear people arguing for this cop that he shouldn't be charged or that he's overcharged or what have you. I don't know anything about the old case. I got to read about that because that's blowing my fucking mind that you can shoot someone in the back and they just go, whatever.
Well, remember locally, what was the guy here? And he got shifted from department. He just went to another department. Stopped the guy. We talked to the guy.
Well, the Catholic Church did the same thing. They'd move molesters to a different church, and they'd molest people there, and, you know, on and on and on.
Tax dollars don't go to the Catholic Church, and that's abhorrent,
too. The people's dollars go to the Catholic Church, though. The Catholic Church is very, very wealthy. The Catholic Church has protected itself. The Catholic Church has done very well with the whole molestation thing. They're not out of business.
Not at all. I don't think the police are going to be out of business either.
They'd get defunded. But we'll see.
It's not going to happen.
I never thought I would be in favor of a police department being defunded, but if there is a better way to do this, I would love someone to try it because this has become such a fucking monster on everyone's back. And every time this happens, I feel like I don't feel like shit, but I feel like shit. It's like, oh, fuck. And when the thing happened in Atlanta on Saturday, you're like, not again. I mean, you feel like the police are this separate entity that just does stuff and you don't know what they're doing and no one can control it.
Well, it's kind of the protesters' point, I think.
No, I mean, I'm not saying that's real, but that's how you're led to feel sometimes because, and I honestly knew when this thing went on night after night after night, I'm like, something's going to happen. I know something shitty's going to happen, something horrible, something that, you know, that people don't like. And it's not because the police want to do wrong. It's because we haven't changed anything. Yeah. We have not changed the training. And I bet you there's a lot
of
cops.
It's going to happen again, too.
I'm willing to bet there's a lot of cops looking at Atlanta going, I think that's a good kill. Or I think that's a fair, you know, I think that's a fair use of force. It's not like it's cut and dried. There was the one. Okay. This one reminded me a little bit of the guy in Sacramento who was crowbarring cars' windows.
And a lot different, but yeah.
Well, no, it's not a lot different because there was complete outrage over the one in Sacramento. The guy had a cell phone, and they thought it was a gun.
Yeah.
It was a cell phone.
I know the story.
Cell phone does not require deadly force. Cell phone is less dangerous than a taser. But I don't want to talk about this. I'm tired of this.
Was he pointing it at him?
Yes.
Yeah, I think he was. Pointing it at him.
And facing them as opposed to running.
But I don't think they said it was suicide by cop.
No, I don't think it was.
Well, I mean,
I don't mean he was doing like this, like pretending it's a gun. But if he had his phone, like, hey, recording. I can understand why an officer.
The only point I'm trying to make
is
that
it's also a poorly lit backyard as opposed to the Wendy's parking lot.
But when added with the fact that he's destroying car windows and robbing cars with a crowbar, they get like six calls on 911. And he's in a backyard, and he won't surrender, he won't comply, and he has a cell phone. But before any of this happened, the people overran City Hall, and remember that whole scene?
Yeah.
I mean, it was, the protests were wild.
The initial reaction, yeah.
But that's how all of these are. People are angry as hell, and they just feel like they don't need to kill the guy. I mean, and in that case, did they have to kill the guy? I mean, apparently they didn't, but I felt like that in those cases, unless it was something, you know, brutal or just horribly painfully obvious, people would always side with the police. And the court usually does. And the jury usually does. And that's what was scary about the judge it was on. He said, I just don't know if this case is that different. But, you know, I agree with him. I'd rather see a deal. And with the other cop crossing the thin blue line. Maybe they'll just make a deal.
He's being charged too, prison. So.
Hey, maybe we'll get the death penalty. Oh, God. And maybe people will feel good about that.
Two wrongs to make a right.
Well, honestly, how can I read this guy's mind? How can I know how scared he was or he wasn't? And the same thing with the guys in Sacramento or the guys in Pittsburgh. It's interesting that George Floyd, the one that is so unlike the others. Oh, Trudy is so bored right now.
So is Brandon. They both have their heads
hit
down.
Hit the outro. Just hit the outro.
I just think they're both exhausted by it.
No, I am too. In fact, today, honestly, I thought about doing a Twitter poll. Boners and farts are current events.
Boners and farts current events.
Hey, I don't want to. We can just totally skip any current event whatsoever because it can kind of be a downer and just go right to the newest cameo, which is.
Yes. So who we got? He's always selling.
Sounds like a bargain.
This is Robert Wagner.
Murderer.
Allison. Happy birthday. I hope it's a...
Hit the outro, please.
Terrific.
What? You don't want to hear Robert Wagner?
No, I can hear him over the outro.
He's aged.
He's 88 years old, isn't he?
I have the money. You know, I left the Bel Air Country Club.
He's $300 on Cameo. That's cameo.com/Robert Wagner.
Brandon, please tell your Cameo bosses that's elder abuse.
Did you say someone... Someone paid how much for that?
$300.
Oh, my God. How about Mick Foley, the Mankind Dude Love? He's the WWE superstar from the past. Cactus Jack, you might remember him for. He is a bargain at $75.
I love that you're leaning into this now.
Oh, God. Yeah, we should just do cameos. Honestly.
Well, there's other fun stories.
Wait, there's a good one. Wait. Oh, my God. This one is the biggest bargain I've ever seen. $288. $288. Christopher Lloyd. Yes, Back to the Future. Taxi. Roger Rabbit. Adam's Family. Star Trek. Angels in the Outfield. That Christopher Lloyd.
I mean, there's fun stories.
$288? Who's not freaking out about that?
We never got into the nice details of the Idaho mom who was banging all the teens in her hot tub. That's a fun story. Or the teacher that was having sex with the 17-year-old.
She's not starting nine material.
What?
I don't think so.
Well, I know, but it's still the devil's in the details. That's where all the fun is.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow with another dreadful show. Have a great night, everybody.
Braxton Miller's on Cameo for $60. He used to play at OSU.
He was Juice's running mate. No, that's Jim Braxton. Sorry. Okay, bye.
Fight the team across the field. Show them Ohio's here.
set the earth reverberating with a mighty cheer. Rah, 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 hit them hard and see how they fall. Never let that team get the ball. Hell, hell, the gang's all here. So beat Indiana now.
Please forgive me if you're a Michigan fan, because I'm a Ohio State fan.